B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show. It's a fun day because it's General Knowledge Wednesday today as we head closer to the new year turning over. You know, I hear a lot of people say, I can't wait to get rid of 2020. Wow, 2021 is just going to be the bad, isn't it? I mean, at least for the first several months. So, things are looking sunnier, at least. Now, I don't know about the sports scene. The Sixers won last night, and that was a big win for them. The way it looked, the way they started out, I know everybody was thinking the same thing. Oh, my God, this team is going to be putting me through changes all year. But they settled down the second half, and they got some really good performances from guys that you might not expect. Tobias Harris, a max contract guy, I'm looking at him going, gee, I didn't expect him to do that. You know, he should be doing that like four out of every six games, but that's beside the point. He did show up a little bit yesterday, and Seth Curry had a good game. I haven't been high on Seth as an all-around player, as an all-around starter. He's more of a bench player, but last night he was pretty good. The one guy that, you know, we can't escape it, man, and it's a shame because we're going to be going through this every game. This is Hurts-Wentz every day the Sixers play. With the analysis of Ben Simmons. And there's no way of getting around it. And I don't know if I had the stamina for it. I don't know if you had the stamina for it. But it's going to be every night. And I know, like, he put up some numbers last night. What do you have, 11? See, 11 does nothing for me. But 13 rebounds. He gets a lot of rebounds. He gets assists. I mean, it's 13 rebounds and 7 assists and 11 points. And you look at that and you go, all right, that's all right. It's stuff in a stat sheet. A little bit, but it's the same thing. And we watch it all the time and we think that there's going to be a different result. And to resign yourself to the fact that it's not going to be different is a really hard pill to swallow. It just is. And it depresses me, frankly. And I know it does the same for you. It either makes you depressed, it makes you angry, but I don't have any more fight left with it. And I'm watching the game, I go, I guess I just have to accept it, that it's not going to happen, which means I accept that they're not going to win anything. So that we can analyze this 100 different ways today. The Eagles have a game on Sunday that means nothing. I would be very content if they lost the game. And there are a lot of people saying, well, why would you play Hurts? Well, why wouldn't you play Hurts? Well, he's like a porcelain vase now. You got to protect. Well, send him out there. Who cares? What's the worst that's going to happen? Well, he gets hurt. Well, we don't even know if he's the starting quarterback. So what do you care about him getting hurt? You know, all that stuff has to play out. So just knock yourself out, kid. Let the kid play. Let some other people play. There's no need for certain other people to play. But I get it. Just go out there. Give it a shot. Hopefully you lose and you get a better draft pick. I don't want them to win. I'm not rooting for them to win. I can't watch that game and root for them to win the game. I'm going to be going the opposite way. I hate myself for that. But the greater good is they get a better draft pick in a meaningless game. I mean, that's it. And then if you buy that Dallas thing, which I don't care if they win a division or not with six wins, who cares? But if you lose the game to Washington goes to the playoffs, and maybe that makes you feel better. So there's no reason for the Eagles to win. Now, there's an issue out there we want to get to the bottom of. People are, I swear to God, they still don't get it. It's like turning a screw. They're trying to figure out a way where it's not true that the Eagles could possibly unhook 34.6 in the salary cap. I still get questions about it. That guy asked me today. So if they keep him, they don't have to account for 34.6? No. No matter if they keep him or not, they have to account for it. Now, Mike Tannenbaum is a former general manager in this league. He has people all in a tizzy because he has some strange scenario where it wouldn't cost the Eagles as much as it's going to cost them now. And his plan includes Carson Wentz writing a $20 million check to give back to the Eagles. And he gets back up the road, the other team. I can't even understand what the hell he's talking about. But people are now bought into, well, look, Mike Tannenbaum says you can do this. So what we're going to do is we're going to have Andrew Brandt. Because if I tell you that it's phooey, you're not going to believe me. But Andrew Brandt, former general manager, has been on top of this, sports business guy. If he explains it to you, then we'll see. I think Andrew is going to say, There's no way in hell that Carson Wentz's camp would write a $20 million check. It's not going to happen. And even if he does, I still don't know that it works.
Right.
The way Tannenbaum explained it.
Right. And he has to. You have to ask yourself. I'm not going to ask Mike specifically or myself, because I know what our answer would be if they came to us and said, "Hey, Mike, after what we've done,
yes.
Can help us out by doing that." I know what I would say. I know what you would say, Mike. But Carson Wentz is supposed to go, because the only person, I just want to make that clear, the only person that gets helped from that are the Eagles.
Exactly.
And he wouldn't be on the Eagles.
Why would he want to help him?
Exactly.
He wants out so bad. Well, if he wants out, if they want him out so bad, they'll trade him. He doesn't have to write any check.
No check. My money remains the same. So this is what you guys will do. If you cut me, then I still get the 34 and the signing bonus. If you trade me, I still get it. Or I can write you a check and get some other team to reimburse to help your cap situation. Why would I help your cap situation if I'm not on your team anymore?
Exactly. And, you know, it's not like he's burning in a pit of fire here like Beelzebub. It's so distasteful for the guy. And if it is, then the agent will communicate that and they'll say trade him. And I don't care if you have to take a $34.6 million hit. You're the one that took my man out of a starting spot. You caused the whole thing. So what do I care about you?
Exactly. And why would they ever, on what planet would anybody expect Carson Wentz to be like, you know what? I'm going to step up. Here's $20 million. Like, for no reason. That's so insane.
Yeah. Just because. And now I'll help the Eagles situation, even though I'm not going to be on the Eagles.
Right.
So why would I want the Eagles to be in cap hell? You're not my team anymore. I want every other team to be in cap hell.
Look at what you did to me. You backstabbed me.
You backstabbed me, and
exactly.
Now I'm supposed to give you some money for it?
Yeah.
Nah.
So, listen, hold on to your hats. I know people react to this time about, look at this thing, Mike. You said you can't. All right. Whatever. We'll get this straightened out by an expert. I'll take myself out of the equation. I've been screaming from the highest mountaintop that they're stuck with this situation, and that's why he's got to come back as the starter, and you still don't want to believe me. So that's fine. All right. So Sixers and Flyers today. And Sixers is a big land. It's hard for me to, like, coming on here and go, I'm still bugged by the Sixers. And they won a big game last night. And I don't know why that is. I'm bugged by him.
Well,
I'm bugged by the guy. The guy's bugging me. Tyrell, I can't take it. I can't go through this whole year like this.
It's a tough thing. Now, I want to give him some credit for the defense that he played real fast.
Siakam, it's great defense.
8-for-23 Siakam. He's locked everybody down.
It's great defense.
And on Thursday, if people talking about how well Fultz is playing, he ain't going to play well on Thursday because I know Ben Simmons is going to get in them shorts. Mm-hmm. And that'll be that. So I want to put that to the side, just make it very clear. I'm aware of the great defense that the guy plays. But offensively, it kills you. And if anyone watched that game last night, Embiid was doubled constantly. And you know why they're able to do that? Because of his unwillingness to do some basic things to make the team himself, the team better, and make things easier for him. And that's the part that is frustrating, because when you see a guy getting doubled all the time, they're like, oh, well, make him pay. Well, if you scramble, and once the ball gets to Simmons, you don't have to scramble anymore because you know he's not going to shoot it. That kills you.
Listen, I got it. He plays great defense. I got it. I
mean, great defense.
I'm in agreement with y'all. Why can't you mix in something down the other end? Seriously, how many times did I count last night where he's got a good enough handle where he curls around a defender, or he gets a semi-screen and gets enough space where he's got a clear elbow jumper? Clear. I mean, this is why you put the ball on the floor, to get to a spot where you can actually shoot it. And it just doesn't come, and it's never going to come, and I don't care what they do. It's a hard lesson for we all have to learn that it's never going to happen.
Never.
It's never going to happen.
See,
and that's what I got to live with.
I think it's going to happen.
See, I think.
But I do. I think it's going to happen at some point. But if he would do it now, with Embiid playing as well as he's playing, now you got a shot.
What do you mean? You think it's going to happen? Why wouldn't it happen now? Here's the chance for it to happen. They got a new coach. They want to run pick and roll. If it's not going to happen now, what makes you think it's going to happen later?
He'll get a wake-up call when he's no longer here.
Oh, so it's not going to happen here? Well, I don't care if it happens somewhere else.
Or maybe, I think it's going to have to come to what Danny Green said. It's going to have to be said publicly by a better player.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's said. This is my point. I've reached my point of exasperation. People make fun of him on other teams.
Yeah.
Doug Green comes in. They were working on the thing. He goes to Dwight Howard, takes shots after the game, and it still doesn't come. It's never going to come. I can't take it.
But he thinks he... Well, I can't.
And
tell
I'm
you
tired of the
so
whole
straight.
Thing, the pampering and the coddling and the Doc Rivers. Oh, you know, I could care less. You know, I mean, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. You care. You care, damn it. There's no coach who can sit there and say they don't care. So I'm tired of the comments with it, too, to patronize the kid. All right. Get off my chest.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Protecting your mental health with this. Good for you.
It's the only way I have to combat it.
Yeah.
General Knowledge today is brought to us by Testa North America, the choice of HVAC techs who count on having those accurate tools in their toolbox when precision measurements matter. Be sure with Testa. And 5 lucky listeners today who get a question correct will win a $100 gift card to Redstone American Grill in Plymouth Meeting or Marlton. I've been to the one in Marlton.
I have too. It's very
a cool
nice.
Joint.
Very nice. Yeah,
they get the fire pits there and the whole bit.
Yep.
Both locations open 7 days a week for lunch, dinner, and brunch on Sundays. You can dine outdoors in the heated patios. You can order online at redstonegrill.com for curbside pickup or order for delivery with DoorDash. All right, so here are the questions. General knowledge. 2020 year in review in the United States. This is the last show we'll do for the new year. So we're going to review this rotten year with questions about what happened in the States this year. Yearly number one hit songs. By popular demand, I'm bringing it back. And these are not going to be like these will be the classics.
Okay.
Like, you know, because people stumble on the modern songs. Like,
oh,
they're,
yeah.
They're not hip to the modern songs. But, like, if you get to, like, the 90s, the 80s,
uh-huh.
People will know more songs.
Okay.
So I'm bringing that back by popular demand.
Okay.
And last names in U.S. history.
Oh, nice.
And I'm going to give you hints, and you give me, like, I'm going to give you first names.
Oh, okay.
Of, like, three people.
Okay.
And you got to give me the last name.
Oh, I like these.
All right?
Yeah.
And there you go. All right. So good prizes, good chat today, exasperating chat, general knowledge, all that good stuff on a Wednesday on the Mike Mastinelli Show. You get in at 610-632-0975. And we are back after this.
The Mike Mastinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
2 o'clock hour on a General Knowledge Wednesday. Mike Mastinelli Show, 2 o'clock hour, brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention, HVAC contractors that are out there that may have to work on the New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Emergency calls for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Get over to Ferguson's counter locations. They're in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pensauken, or Westchester today. Stock up. Let's start our Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Winter is here. You need equipment like a snowblower. I've been warning you. Go check it out at Paul B. Moyer and Sons' Doylestown. You can get a small snowblower like the one I have, which is cool. You can get a large one if you got like huge property that you need to blow snow off of. You don't want to be shoveling. Stop by their Doylestown location today. Order online at paulbmoyer.com. Natalie, today's Twitter poll.
Thanks, Mike. Over 100 votes on this one early. With the Sixers 3-1, are you more happy about their record or more frustrated with Ben Simmons' lack of shooting? 39% say happy about the record. 61% say frustrated with Ben.
Yeah, well, listen, get used to it. Because this is a major thing. you can't just go from hope to resignation. And I didn't think I'd be able to do that this quickly because I always believed. And I go, you know, all this fanfare that accompanies this dude and all the conversation about it, and he learns nothing from it. And so it's not going to happen with this team. If it doesn't happen with this team, they're short. Listen, let's connect the dots. He doesn't do X, they don't get Y. It's really simple as that. So that means if he's not going to get it, then what would stop you trading for Harden? That's all I'm saying. You want to win? You want to go through this whole thing? We got to hope Tobias Harris goes for 26 all year. You want to do that? Or do you want to go, they got a chance to win tonight because my man's going to drop 40 points.
Well, you know, I still am a believer. And I'm going to just keep on believing for now.
Don't stop believing, Tyrone.
I mean,
hold on to that feeling.
Yeah. There's no South Detroit, but
it's true.
It doesn't exist. But this is why I'm still believing. It's not based on any evidence, because I think every man at some point, or every boy, becomes a man at some point. And I think at this point, it's a certain level of maturity. And I believe it will kick in and happen, but I don't know when. And that's the problem. It can't be anything else at this point.
The most immature man on the planet who ever played here was Allen Iverson.
Yeah.
It didn't affect him one bit when he went out there. He needed to do what needed to be done.
No, but it affected some of the things he did night to night because he had to get his. Like, it does affect things at times. And I think that he has this... I don't know what it is, but I feel like he'll get there.
Yeah.
But he has not gotten there. I'm still more happy about the 3-1 than frustrated with Ben. Now, if it gets to 3-3, then I'll look at it different. I have to take everything game by game. I got one guy who's playing like an MVP. I got the other guy who's playing great defense. That's where I'm at.
I am proud of you. Proud of you that you can stay in that spot.
That's where I'm at still. Mm-hmm. I'm not pleased because I see it. And I see how if he would, the team's not perfect. But when he's playing at a high level and drawing the amount of attention that he's drawing, if he would add a little wrinkle to his game, I could really start to dream because of his defense. He can D up. Who's going to D up Durant better than him? Nobody. Who's going to D up Giannis better? Like, he's as... No. If he would do the other thing.
That's the thing. He's not going to do the other thing. So you're in a position now where you have to hope every night that some unlikely guy adds the points that he's not giving you.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
That's every night.
Game one, it was Shake Milton.
Exactly.
Because he had 19. Game two, it was Shake Milton again. Game three, it was nobody and they lost. And then last night, it was Tobias.
Yes.
And Curry. So
how many times are we going to count on Tobias to do that? Seriously.
On 72-game season, you're probably getting 20 of those games out of 72.
That's not enough.
No, I'm hoping that it can get to 50, but
my point, like, the thing that I see that's visible is that these other things aren't going to happen, right? Like, all right, if Ben wants to score 11 a night and Tobias is going to be 26, I'll be happy.
It's fine.
And that's not going to happen.
Right. Right. If it gives you 25 plus, Tobias gives you 25 plus every night.
Right.
Then he can slide in there and it doesn't matter because somebody else will step up.
Yes.
But if he's not doing that, the other concerning part is Embiid had to play a ton of minutes.
He did.
Because when he was out the game and Ben was in the game, the offense was all bogged down.
Yeah.
That's another thing that has to change.
By the way, I saw a candidate for the worst player in the NBA last night.
Who?
Who?
Alex Len.
Yeah, he's bad.
He's horrendous. How is he in this league? Because he's big?
He's lasting. Oh, he can make the three.
Oh, really?
He can make
the three. He stinks.
Well, he stinks.
He's an embarrassment, that guy.
Did I say he didn't stink? You asked why he's in the league, because he's tall and can make a three. That's why he's in the league.
I got to get that species out of the league. Guys like that.
Well, good luck. They've been around a long time.
Let's go to Zach and Ventnor. Zach, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Zach.
What's up, Mike?
What's going on, Zach? How are you, buddy?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. I just want to say I am pumped for Andrew Brandt to come on and tell all these crazy people. It's not. You're going to have to pay him the money. You have to pay him the money. I went to college up in New England, so I got all my Patriots fans. Oh, he's going to come here. We're going to get. No, dude, you're not. The Eagles can't get. I just can't wait for him to come on and tell everyone.
Yeah, I'm glad you reminded me because we need to play the setup. We need to play the Tannenbaum thing. The whole thing confused me. I think I know what he's saying, but it's still confusing. I haven't heard one person verify it, frankly, since he said this. But anyway, go ahead.
I was going to say, I just can't wait because you've had people on before saying that it's not possible to not pay him. So I just don't know how many more times people need to hear it, but I am excited for that.
We'll get to it at 4:30. Believe me.
When it comes to the Sixers, man, I'm in between you and Tyrone. Like, I don't want to give up on hoping. It's really hard to give up, like you said, on, man, I just think he will. I want him to, and we all want him to, but I just want to give him a little more time with Doc Rivers. We have until the trade deadline. I don't want to, like, pull the trigger unless we have to, but I don't know, man. If it keeps the same way, how long are we supposed to wait?
What do you think that Doc Rivers can actually do brain doesn't want to do something?
I thought, like, a coach who was like, hey, man, I want an NBA title with guys that shot the basketball. Maybe you should do that.
He's saying the opposite. Again, it's patronage of Ben. Well, I'm not worried about it. You know, people worry about that more than we do here. Your sister, you stay up at night worrying about that.
I don't get it, man. But that's what I had. Looking forward to the Flyers coming back too. That's gonna be fun. But other than that, man, yeah, I don't get the whole. I don't want to give up on Ben. I don't, but it's hard, man. It's really hard.
I guess, but dude, I'm trying. This is gallows humor for me, you know. Like, I can't, I'm watching the game last night, I see he curls around a guy, he's got that elbow right there, it's going to his left, the elbow jumper with the left hand, nothing.
It's just you see him and he can do it, and it's like, he can do it, why don't you do it, and I don't know.
His brain won't allow him to do it, that's not going to change anytime soon. If your brain's in control, that's not going to happen, it's not going to change. I mean, that's intense sports psychotherapy.
No, actually, what you said, I didn't know but I agree with that because I wrestled all through college, and I went to this one clinic, and we got this really, really good guy. He was from Pennsylvania. I don't know if you ever heard of Kerry Colette, but he had a great line. He was like, guys, if you're thinking and you're wrestling, you're not wrestling. Just go and do it, and I think he's thinking too much. I really do. Just do it, man. You're a number one overall pick. You're one of the best athletes.
He's thinking that he's not going to look good doing it, and his brain will shut it down.
I don't know why he can't see past that. Dude, you're one of the best athletes on the planet. Like, just go for it.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to think he needs it. All right, now here's your general knowledge question to start things off.
Gotcha.
What is the only U.S. state with a Z in its name?
Arizona.
There you go. Simple, simple, simple. Hold on a second. So 5 lucky listeners will get the $100 gift card today. So you qualify for one of them. Right? If we only get 4 more, you're in.
Yeah, we've started, the way this is going recently is we start off with a bunch of winners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get none in the middle, and then we rally late. Maybe this will be a day where we get consistent winners throughout the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what I'm hoping.
Yep. All right, let's go to Nick in Collingswood. Nick, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
What's up, Nick?
First time, long time.
Thanks, buddy.
James Harden's butt needs to be on an airplane to Philadelphia today for Ben Simmons. Okay? I got nervous around the time when Doc Rivers' first introductory press conference, and he was talking about, you know, I don't care if Ben takes no shots or 100 shots, and I got nervous at that point because does he not know, Doc Rivers, that Ben Simmons has to shoot the ball for them to win, not to win 50 games in a regular season, not to win a first-round playoff matchup, but to actually win a championship?
Yeah. So, listen, Doc Rivers, I can see what he's trying to do. He's trying to say, I can't put any extra pressure on him to shoot the ball. He's kind of trying to take the onus off of him, this obsession that he has to shoot the ball. He's thinking that that's going to ease him, his way to actually shoot the ball. That's what he's trying to do. But don't tell me that he doesn't need to shoot the ball. And exactly. I got some people down there telling me they see Daryl Morey is sitting across the way there, and he's animated about everything. And he's seeing the same thing. Daryl Morey is comfortable with a guy who won't take a shot. Well, all the Houston teams that he's been through.
Exactly. And for, I don't know why he's not shooting. Is it a psychology thing? Is
it has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be. He's out there taking shots with Dwight Howard, right? Giving the impression. Right. All the videos he posts, he's shooting a ball. Well, in the game, there's something that's stopping it.
And
he needs to be hypnotized.
To Ty's point about the defense, I mean, Russell Westbrook can't shoot. We don't know if RJ Barrett's any good or not. And Siakam's a nice player, but those aren't guys you're going to see deep in the playoffs. They're not Durant. It's not Kyrie Irving. It's not Tatum. You know, guys like that. So even though the defense is fine for what it is.
Yeah, I hear where you're going. They haven't really beaten anybody substantial yet. And they'll face these good teams, and we'll see what his defense does in those games. I hear you.
All right, Mike.
All right, man. You want General Miles' question?
Sure.
This is the 2020 year in review question. United States questions, okay? The question is, in which city was George Floyd killed by a police officer?
Well, Minnesota. I don't know if it was Minneapolis or not. I don't think it was Minneapolis, but we'll go with that.
Minneapolis is correct.
Ooh, okay.
All right, Minneapolis. So we got 2 for 2 here on general knowledge.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Abdul in Camden. Abdul, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's up, Abdul?
I was listening, you know, and hearing everything. I think Zach LaVine would be the perfect player for the Sixers. I don't want Harden. I think Harden would be a disruption.
You know, why are you making up stuff? You know you can't get Zach LaVine. The only guy you can get is Harden. Why you got to change the narrative?
I think they would have a better chance.
I know why Houston wants to get rid of the guy. Why does Chicago want to get rid of Zach LaVine? How's it benefit them? How's it benefit them?
Selling.
All right, so who are you going to get for him? Because you got to match salaries now. You know he signed a big deal. Now, who are they going to take to give you Zach LaVine?
I would say Tobias Harris, Danny Green, and a couple of first-round drafts.
Now, Abdul, does that sound silly? Seriously. If you're the Chicago Bulls, you want to take Tobias and Danny Green?
And a couple of first-round draft picks.
And first-round draft picks that are what, in the 20s? You got to think this through, Abdul. I want to make you the general manager of the Bulls. Would you do that?
I wouldn't. I agree with you. I wouldn't do it.
All right. Well, so then it's impossible to do.
More of as a Sixers standpoint.
Well, yeah, but you can't do that in a trade. You got to see the other side's willing. And Chicago Bulls, I laugh at that. Let me get this straight. You're going to be Tobias Harris, a maxed out player who's mediocre, and you're going to give me a shot in the rear end, Danny Green? Oh, yeah, sure. I'll send you Zach LaVine tomorrow.
But I'm just thinking, you know, the Sixers, they're like a lethargic team. They need that player who's just going to give them that burst of energy.
Listen, Abdul, I hear where your heart is, but come on, man. You can't get Zach LaVine. Either you want Harden or you don't. Harden's available because they want to get rid of him. He wants to get out of town. That's the only option you really have.
I don't know. I just think he would be more of a disruption.
Okay, so you want to stay the way you are. Now, the way you are, can you win?
No.
Then what are we talking about here, Abdul? What are we talking about? So what do you want to do? At the end of the day, what do you want to do, Abdul?
He just left me speechless.
All right, listen, Abdul, would you like a general knowledge question?
Yeah, I'll try.
All right, you're going to try it. Okay, so now we've had 2 winners in a row here. The next category is the yearly number one hit songs. Are you a songsman?
No, I mean, I listen to songs, but...
All right, well, these are popular. These rose to number one, right? These are popular songs. So, I'm going to try to give you a good one now, all right?
Okay.
All right, so let's go with the year. Are you more of a modern guy or an old school guy?
I'm more of an old school guy.
All right, so let's go with this one here. 1986, the song was That's What Friends Are For.
Uh-huh.
Who did it?
Dionne Warwick.
That's correct! Hold on a second.
Love that song.
Now, did the Bee Gees write that song for them? For her?
They did?
I mean, look. The Bee Gees wrote for her. in that period, the post-disco period, where they were out of sorts. And so they started writing for people.
Oh, no, it's written by Burt Bacharach.
Oh, Burt Bacharach.
Did. Carol wrote, Bayer
Do you know
Sager.
The way to say
Oh, they were married.
La, la,
they were married, Carol Bell Sager and Burt Bacharach.
Too. Yeah, Burt wrote that too. Burt was a bad boy. As
he
a
was.
Writer. Burt's a good writer.
Yes, he was.
He wrote for a lot of black artists too. People didn't know. Burt.
Yeah, he did. Burt back.
I like Burt.
Carol Bayer Sager. She had. She wrote a hit song, or she recorded a hit song. Carol Bayer Sager. What am I thinking of with her? Look her up.
Let me see. I'm looking her up.
She's got some kind of other claim to fame other than writing with Burt Bacharach.
Oh, she looks familiar.
I should know this. They're just kind of in my wheelhouse with her. But anyway, let's go to Gene in Doylestown. Gene, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Gene.
Good afternoon, Michael.
What's up, Gene? How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I did watch the game last night, mm-hmm. and I saw the same thing as Tyrone, which brings me to my point that this is all due to Ben just being selfish, because he could help this team so much by taking a shot. And he just, like you said, it's just a refusal to do it. I was watching him come up the floor last night on a consistent basis. He would dish the ball off, head to the corner, and nobody would go with him. Why? Because two of them were staying with Joel Embiid because they know he's not going to take that shot. And it's just, like you said, I'm so aggravated by it.
His drives were just bull rushes to the basket with no rhyme or reason. Now, he did, he scored a couple. But he's like he makes the same mistake. Like he puts down his head and there's no reason. Like there's no lane to get to the basket there.
I looked at the numbers afterwards, and my immediate thought was, yeah, nice game, 11 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists. That's a nice line, but you know what? I'd rather have 39 and 8 and 4. I'd rather have that 39 as opposed to that 11. Every game. So to me, it's a no-brainer. If you can get them and get them here, do it.
It's so fundamental. Like a couple of those things I was referencing, where he'll beat his guy off the dribble, going to the left mostly, right? So he'll curl around a guy and get some help from a teammate on the semi-pick. That shot is open. He turns that into a mad dash to the basket, which is not open. And this is what I'm talking about. People go, he doesn't have to shoot. That's the better shot. You got a better chance to score the two than him doing what he's going to do at that point.
I agree wholeheartedly. And that's why I just think he's selfish. He's all about me, and I don't look good. You know, if I can't make this shot, I'm not taking the shot. He's got to take the shot to help his team out. And he's just his flat-out refusal of doing just screams selfish to me. I could be wrong. I've never personally.
I don't see. Here's why it's not sure. I don't think that it even occurs to him that way. Like I to be selfish, you got to know you're being selfish. I don't think he knows he's being selfish. He says he's like oblivious to it.
That's even scarier to me.
It's maddening.
It absolutely 100% maddening. It is. Just total frustration because as I'm watching that game last night, I'm thinking, well, they're a better team this year because, you know, that's a game to me last year would have been an L. And they fought mm-hmm. their way back. They won the game, you know, and it didn't have to be that way if he would just, you know.
Well, listen, they won last night, and I can't take anything away from them. They earned that win last night. I'm just talking about up the road, you're going to be better off if you do other things, and it just doesn't look like he's going to do it.
I agree. And like Tyrone said, you know, I'm past the point where I'm afraid that it's going to happen somewhere else. If they can get Harden here, do it. Let them go. Let them go do it somewhere else. Let them frustrate somebody else for a couple of years because I can't take it anymore, in case you can't tell by the tone of my voice.
Yeah, I guess. All right, man, this is your general knowledge question here for New Year's. Last names in U.S. history. Oh, so if I go Ella, Zelda, F. Scott.
Fitzgerald.
That is correct. Look at this.
Nice.
These are money questions today.
Great. Love it.
A lot of winners.
Ending the year winning.
Exactly.
For the final general knowledge.
Everybody's
ready. Everybody's ready in the locker room for this.
They are.
610-632-0975 is how you climb in. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
2:45, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic, on General Knowledge Wednesday. That's the fun today, talking about the issues. A little later, we'll have Andrew Brandt join us. Let's set this up at least in 2 o'clock hour so people know. We'll do it every hour until we get to Andrew. And he'll comment on what this Mike Tannenbaum, former general manager of New York Jets, now doing commentary in ESPN, and he's a frequent guest on the morning show, Get Up, with, of course, Hambo's in the background, that show. So he comes on, and he's got this, he's got this, whatever you call it, this direction on how the Eagles can worm out of the $34.6 mil cap hit if they trade Carson Wentz. So it's hard to follow, so just listen closely.
Right now, if Carson Wentz was traded as is before he earned a roster bonus, he would count $33.8 million on Philly's cap next year. However, under the rules, Greeny, if Carson Wentz wrote a check for $20 million before the end of the 2020 league year, the Eagles would get a credit next year, meaning he would only be $13,800,000 on their cap in 2021, which is a very reasonable number. At the same time, Carson Wentz could go take two visits. Presumably it would be to New England and, most importantly, the Indianapolis Colts, because Frank Reich's had him before. They've had a lot of success. He could take a physical and renegotiate a contract. The contract to me would be really easy. Keep paying Carson Wentz $32 million a year, which is what he was making, and have the Colts pay him a signing bonus of $20 million, so he is now made whole, and he keeps on going on his contract. If I'm the Colts, or the Patriots in that matter, I'm paying roughly $38 million a year, which is $32 million a year for 3 years, plus the $20 million, which is high, but still less than Deshaun Watson. And then in terms of the trade compensation for the Eagles, to me, it would be a second-round pick in 2021, and if the new team, the Colts or the Patriots, make the playoffs during the 21 season, then the Eagles will get an additional second-round pick in 2022. So if I'm Philadelphia, I have a very manageable dead money of 13.8. I have the potential of getting two second-round picks for a player that, let's face it, needs a fresh start, and you still have Jalen Hurts. And if I'm the Colts or the Patriots, Greeny, I now have a young quarterback, 27 years old, who's played well, and I've given up reasonable draft compensation, and I'm paying him a little bit more than I want, but now I have the player I need for the next 3 years under contract.
All right. Now let's try to sort this out, because that sounds like fantasy general managing to me, right? First of all, he's got to write the $20 million check. The incentive for him doing that is nothing more than, I just want to get out of here. Now, if he doesn't, he gets some money willy-nilly. He couldn't care less about what the Eagles' problems are, which is where I go, why would he care and want to give the Eagles a break? He can go either way. They can trade him either way. And so why would he have to give them an incentive to trade him by him writing them a check? Like, this is the fires of hell that he's existing in. Now, so he says, if they write the $20 million check, next year the Eagles' cap would only be $13.8 million. You can do simple subtraction to that. However, this now includes him finding his own team and making his own trade. So he uses the Colts as an example, and he's then asking the Colts, you pick up the salary, which is $32 million. In addition to that, you pick up the signing bonus. And they go, why would we do that? Right. We can trade for the guy. We're just getting a salary.
Exactly. You see, that's why he's so tradable. This is what he leaves out. It's because the next team doesn't have to pay to sign
him.
The reason you can get the two twos for him is because if you're, the way they look at it is, I take on his contract. But if he doesn't work out, I could just cut him because you paid the salary, the signing bonus. That's why he, because he's coming off a bad year. You're selling low. So now you got a person who's going to now basically buy high when you're selling low. It doesn't make sense because why would New England, for example, let's say Belichick says like he did with Cam, I'll take Carson. Mm-hmm. It's just money. And if he stinks like Cam has stunk, at the end of the year, we'll just cut them and we'll move on. Instead, now they have to do $20 million on a salary. Yeah, on that,
so they get no value out of it, except they get a quarterback. Now they're paying $38 million a year for the quarterback that they could have got cheaper
right.
in a straight-up trade.
Exactly.
And the incentive is, well, it's $2 million less than Deshaun Watson, so it's a bargain. Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. You know, at 32, it's a bargain. Right. That's significantly lower.
32 is the bargain. That's the point. He glossed over that completely.
Yes.
And he still didn't explain in that why Carson would do it. If they want to trade him because they want to move on to Hurts. Like if they say to him after the year, they go to his mm-hmm. agent and say, we want to move on. Hurts is going to be our starter. And then Carson's agent would say, I already told you in private, he ain't no backup. So trade him.
Yes.
But will you write a check? No, just trade me just, and you did right, it. You did it.
Exactly.
You did this.
But why would I want to help you out? Like, the fires of hell rationale doesn't really apply.
Right. And then, hey, I've been the backup the last few weeks. My family's here. I don't mind the city so much. I got a nice foundation.
Yeah.
If you want me to sit on the bench next year, you know I don't like it, but you know I'm going to show up and be a good soldier and collect my $33.8 million.
He's got the trade all figured out. The coach is going to give a second round pick and then incentivize it. If you make the playoff, we'll give you another one. How's that?
It's it's like he's a former
fantasy general manager
who's acting like a fan. And I'm not saying that in an insulting way. What I'm saying is there's a big difference between a fan or even us and a GM who works with the team.
Yeah.
Big difference in what in contracts. We don't have experience doing that. They do. And the fact that he just threw that out there, and why? And also, Carson Wentz at some point is going to be a human, right? He's probably going to tell him, you know what you can do with that check?
Listen, I didn't see the show. Did Greeny actually say, why would Carson write the check?
Nope.
No.
that's my first question. Nope.
He just went on and kept talking about it like, oh, this is very interesting.
Good Lord.
Well, and what's interesting is all season long, the media has kind of, the national media, they villainized Carson, and now they're supposed to, like he's supposed to be the sacrificial lamb and continue to be this good guy and suck it up for the Eagles. Like, the Eagles screwed you over. Why would you ever think that he would do that?
I thought he was evil.
I don't care
selfish.
If you're, I mean, I like to think that I'm a good person, Ty's a good person, Mike's a good person. You could be a good person and know that you've been screwed over and not owe these people anything.
Listen, I'm happy here. If they want to move on from me, I'm not doing anything to make it easier.
No.
You're gonna have to escort me out with security. Nothing's going to be easy about parting ways with Tyrone Johnson. Not going to happen.
Not only am I going to go away, I'm going to give you some money back
that you
promised to pay me as your franchise.
Money back. You're getting it down. The team's going to give it to you down the road. Oh, really? Why would they have to do that? Listen, Andrew Brenner, come on. He's more experienced in the contract matters. I think I'm fairly experienced. I can get a read on what's being said here, and it doesn't make a bit of sense to me.
As a preview,
I feel like it's common sense.
Real fast before we go to break, this is a quote that he said to me when I was
Andrew.
He said, LOL at that check.
He LOL'd it.
He LOL'd
so,
at
so
that
there
check.
You go. That's probably what's coming.
I don't know exactly. He didn't elaborate. Because I didn't want it, but he just said, LOL at that check. I can come on at 4:30.
All right. 610-632-0975, 3 o'clock hours ahead.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com.
Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 3 o'clock. It's the Mike Missanelli Show. It's General Knowledge Wednesday, 3 o'clock hour. It's brought to us by Corbley's Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie, and hoagie party trays every bit as good. Tim McMaster will join us this hour at 3:30. One of the things that apparently is trending on Twitter, and we were going to get to this, obviously, as much as I hate to do it, T.O.'s out of control again with McNabb. And if we can track this whole thing, do we have the McNabb part of this when he was interviewed by Master?
I have to dig that up because that's from last January.
Okay, so, but he was asked by, is Master Tez, right?
I thought it was Master Trez.
Master Trez. Master Trez. And so he's, he works for,
Bleacher Report.
Bleacher Report. And he does this interview show where he kind of is around a pool table. And so way back when, McNabb was on it, and he brings up the T.O. thing to him. And McNabb kind of sloughed it off, basically. And said, yeah, he's moved on, blah, blah, blah. And T.O. grabbed that and made an issue of that and rekindled the whole thing. A couple weeks ago, we ran what T.O. said, and he was back at it again. And he's put out a report that he knows for a fact, as exactly what he said, that Donovan McNabb was drinking the night before the Super Bowl game. And that prompted him throwing up in the huddle. McNabb has said, there's no evidence I threw up in a huddle. You can look at the tape, whatever. Now, this is where T.O. is dangerously flirting with a libel suit here. And if I'm Donovan McNabb, that's a dangerous accusation. All right, you got the McNabb thing? All right, let's hear what McNabb had to say when first asked the question, and then we'll track all this down.
I thought that was the major distraction for us. You know, he's doing sit-ups. You know, he's doing push-ups. He's playing basketball. He ordering pizza for the people out there. We're in our dorm rooms, and Doc would come in. He's like, man, what do you do now? I'm like, take a look. Like, this is like days. This is like days of our lives. You know, that was something that kind of broke us up.
You and T on talking terms, or what's the relationship like now?
Hey, I give a nice peace sign and keep it moving. I respect his time. You know, I love my time.
All right.
You know, and there's no need for me.
There you go. There's no need for him. All right. That's cool. Yeah, he handled it right. I give him a peace sign and move on, is what he said.
Seemed to me like a normal, well-adjusted adult.
Right.
Meanwhile.
Now, all he was talking about was during the season, what T.O., the stuff he was doing and how it broke the team apart.
He never addressed his play or anything like that. He was asked directly about the sit-ups. That was his answer. And then he said, how are you guys now? He says, I give him a peace sign, I keep it moving.
Right.
He didn't say anything.
That triggered T.O. to call him Lying Ass 5.
Online.
Yes. Saying he didn't help with the contract and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So, he was on now with this Master Trez.
Right.
T.O. And he brings the whole thing back up like crazy, like fire, right? So here's what he has to say.
This is about the game itself.
This is the Super Bowl game.
This is the Super Bowl game.
Okay.
And why, in his opinion, why McNabb didn't play well.
Okay.
Why would somebody lie? There are teammates that said he threw up in the huddle. Personally, I didn't see it, but there are guys, and I know that there are teammates that I've talked to recently that said that they saw him throw up in the huddle. I've talked to teammates since then and know for a fact that he was out the night before.
He was out the night before?
Yeah, he was out the night before the biggest game pretty much of all of our careers. There's people that saw him out the night before, said he was drinking, and I think that attributed to him throwing up in the huddle. He's obviously had a history of condition problems. So for me, knowing all this information, I felt like that was irresponsible, especially for somebody of his caliber, his status, to obviously be the leader of the team, and you're out the night before the biggest game of your career, you're out drinking or what have you, and then that maybe contributed to him throwing up in the huddle. It's just not good.
Okay, so this is where it gets dangerous now. First of all, why would he not see McNabb throw up in the huddle? That's my first question. Like,
he was on the sideline on that play.
Oh, really?
That's what he's claiming.
Okay.
Freddie Mitchell, I believe, was the first person to say that he did.
He was.
This is 16 years ago. All right. Now.
But now let's get it. He says, I know. He's getting into dangerous ground here. He's saying that McNabb drank his way into a bad performance in the Super Bowl, which
I know for a fact he said.
Dangerous to someone's reputation, right?
For sure.
Now, let me just give you a little a legal analysis of this. If I'm McNabb, I sue for libel. Now, he's a public figure, so it's hard to actually win a libel suit when you're a public figure because you have to prove the statement was either made knowingly false or with reckless disregard for the truth. So it might not be knowingly false to T.O., but certainly is reckless disregard for the truth because he says, I know for a fact when he's actually just relying on hearsay that people said he was out drinking. He didn't witness anything. He has no video. He has no proof. So in a situation like that, if I'm McNabb, I sue even if I can't win the case. Because otherwise, it's out there. I drank before the day before the Super Bowl, and that's why the Eagles lost. And that could cause damage to my reputation. And all I have to do is prove it. And if somebody says to me, hey, we think we're going to hire you for this, but this thing came out about you drinking, and that's a bad example for kids. So that's a damage. So that would be a loss of reputation for Donovan McNabb. So I would go forward with that case.
Well,
I court shop whatever is the easiest damages to prove as far as your reputation, whatever state. T.O. said this in Texas. If I go to Texas and I find out that the damages in Texas for this kind of are plentiful, like the standard is lower, boom, that's where I'm going. If I live in Arizona, I file it in Arizona. If I did business in New York, as it affect my reputation in New York, I'm going to New York.
Now, Freddie Mitchell, who made the initial statement years ago, he tweeted, this thanks to Joe from NBC Sports Philadelphia, who's producing the show today. He has the black guy from Get Out with a hashtag to Get Out, like looking and crying. And then T.O. responds with, am I lying? And Freddie says nothing. So it's clear once again that Freddie Mitchell was the guy who made the claim. And he's Freddie doesn't want to get sued. So Freddie just is being cagey.
He's deferring now.
He's deferring it. Yeah. It's clearly Freddie.
I know for a fact that he was drinking the night before the Super Bowl. Oh, you didn't know for a fact? Yeah, people told me. Well, guess what, my man?
Right. One other thing that he said, the Master Trez apparently didn't know that they hadn't squashed. Now, you heard that McNabb says, I set a peace sign and I keep it moving. Uh-huh. So he asked T.O. about piecing it up, and this is what T.O.'s, this is what he said. It's very brief.
No, I've tried. He's phony. I tried to be cordial with the situation. I thought we had squashed it, but then you guys did an interview, and then all this resurfaces again.
That was the interview he did with Trev.
He didn't say anything!
See, this is where, like, you know, there's a high road, and then there's, wait, he did what? He accused me of drinking the night before the Super Bowl? And that's going to cause damage to my reputation? Boom.
Would that be enough to just shut him up, too? Like, why are we still it's been 16 years. You have nothing else going on.
If you're not going to act, and the other thing is, if you don't act here, you're giving credence to it almost.
I have not been a Five fan in a very long time. Passive-aggressive gets on my nerves. Not a fan of him. I know he was a hater of Wentz. He's probably the happiest man in America right now that Wentz got benched. At the same time, this is 16 years ago. He has said nothing inflammatory towards T.O. in a very long time. The fact that T.O. is still this angry and still firing off this much, I hate to do it, 100%, as a petty person, as an immature man, I still have to 100% side with T.O. Like, I couldn't imagine. Like, I can hold on to anger for 15 days or 15 months. 16 months easy. 16 years. 15 years. I couldn't still be mad about that all these years later.
Why is he still mad? Like, what did McNabb do?
What did Five do?
I don't think T.O.'s a happy man. And I think that when you're not a happy man, you pick at things that you want to battle with because you're not content inside. And so that just happens to be number one on his list.
And then we can play it later when he talks about Brian Westbrook, our own Brian Westbrook, and brings him into it. Brian doesn't say anything negative about Five or T.O., but Brian, he brought him
in. Well, he brings him into it because
of the money.
That's the whole crux of T.O.'s anger is that McNabb intentionally snubbed T.O.'s contract demands where he went and supported Brian Westbrook. Now, that would tick me off as a player, too. Believe me. But it comes to a point in time, like, if you turn it, if you got a happy life, you that stuff, you kind of like just have to let go. But he's not, I don't think he's a happy man.
Right, and he did help prevent him from getting the money here. That is true. But he did not prevent T.O. from getting money. Dallas paid T.O.
Yeah.
Dallas paid T.O.
Yeah, he wanted to be here, though. He didn't want the humiliation of being traded. He wanted to be here. He wanted to be a star here. So well, I can see where it hurt.
But this is where T.O. could have also done. Maybe go give Five a hug. Five is a guy who's insecure himself at that time. It seems like he's grown some after his trouble. Go give the man a hug. Wrap your arms around him because that's what Five needed. I'm saying if you really wanted to be here. Five was wrong back then. Five was 100% wrong back then, like T.O.'s 100% wrong now. Five was wrong.
They were both children.
Right.
But T.O.'s insanely a child.
Right. That's kind of my issue.
And that's the difference.
You think a hug would have solved it?
I need you.
Conversation would have solved it.
Yeah, I think a conversation could have solved it.
Yeah, let's hug it out, guys.
McNabb was a camp sending emissaries to T.O.'s room. Instead of just like walking to, yo, man, we got a beef. Let's, you know. All right, let's go to Mitch, Bay Area Cali. What's up, Mitch?
How you doing? This the T.O. thing just cracks me up after all this time.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's something. And any day that I hear Freddie Mitchell, that name is just, oh my goodness. I think he had two catches his entire time here.
Oh, he's milked them both. He's milked them both, though. I'll tell you that. All friends milked them.
It's for sure. So two things real quick. Mm-hmm. A real quick Eagles point, and then I get to the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure you all know of the term, the sunk cost, and how that really plays into a lot of financial analysis and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And in my time as a sports fan, which has gone back a little bit, the worst thing that teams do is they don't just deal with sunk costs. They try to justify it, and it sets them years and years back. So I love Wentz. I'm a big Wentz fan. I hope he's here forever. But if they decide that he's not the guy, they need to trade him and just deal with the sunk cost.
See, that's easy. It's easier. See, what you're dealing with doesn't have a salary cap. This is a salary cap league, right? So the sunk cost, it counts for 25% of what you have to pay people on your roster. So that's it. So a sunk cost, it's more than a sunk cost. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. My thing is that They're the worst team in the division for the next 2-3 years. And I think that's pretty obvious at this point. So it's,
no, I don't
it's
know. Time I mean, plan. I don't know. That doesn't have three teams. There's no day at the beach on any of those three teams.
No. But the thing that all those teams have is they got some young players that they could build on. We just frankly don't. So I don't know. But that's my opinion on that real quick. I just don't want the Eagles to if they want to move on with this thing, they need to think 3-4 years down the line and not just worry about next year where they're just not going to be very good no matter what, especially when you look at their schedule. But getting to the Sixers, the Simmons thing, I've actually called you several times. Simmons is a real good player, you know, and I don't want the whole thing about this for people to turn him into a bad player. He does a lot of things very well on the court. He's probably the best complimentary player in the league, I think. But complimentary players do not win championships. If he's your second best player, and he is, they are out in the second round every year. That's just the truth of it. If they want to win, they need to make that trade for Harden. And the other thing that no one's talking about is a guy with Simmons' mentality, who's to say that in 3 years when people are expecting him maybe to get it, who's to say that he just doesn't demand a trade or leave? Like, there's no guarantee he's going to be on the team in 3 or 4 or 5 years.
In 3 years, if he's here and he does play the same way, I don't think it'll be a problem that they'll want to not trade him, to be honest with you. So there's that. He is the second best player, and he's got to give you more points. I don't know how many times I could say that without having to read something on Twitter. You're missing a point, Mike. Blah, 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 blah. He does this. Yeah, I know what he does. I'm the one who invented Ben Simmons in this town. I was telling you how great he was. I know exactly what he does. I can't put up with 11. I can't put up with an average of 16 when he's the second best player. You're not gonna score enough points to win enough games to contend. And that's really what we're in it for, to contend.
Ladies and gentlemen,
what's this leading to?
Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Missanelli has 10 years here at 97.5 The Fanatic, glorious years, and has made a point to the people that he is, quote, never wrong. But today, early in the 2 o'clock hour, Mike Missanelli admitted that in his opinion, Ben Simmons will never shoot Mark's. This is what, December 30th, 2020. If 2020 couldn't get any worse, Mike Missanelli now has to admit he's been wrong about a player for the first time.
Not really.
No,
it's still to be determined.
I never said I thought he was going to be a shooter. What I said was he had to be a shooter. That's what I said.
You said he would be a transcendent player.
If he shoots.
But he doesn't shoot.
But I didn't expect it to go on now.
No one did.
I gave him allowance for being able to get it.
I wasn't lying
that he would be a transcendent player if he does something that he should be doing. And now I can't take it anymore.
Is he still seeing that sports psychologist?
I don't even know if he saw him in the first place. It was a myth.
It was in July. That came out in July.
She said that he was considering it.
Not that he did it. He was considering it.
Oh, I thought that he did it. Jackie McMullen never admitted to doing it. Well,
he considered seeing it because Jackie McMullen must have some access to Ben because Ben's very closed off.
We'll never know if he did anyway.
But he still should be.
There's a patient doctor privilege.
Right, but if he did, he still should be because clearly the therapy hasn't worked.
Well, he went to the wrong one then.
I like your hypnosis idea.
Sports psychologist shop now. I don't think he's interested in doing that. I really don't think he's interested in doing it. I think he thinks he's fine. That's the whole problem. I didn't think he would think he was fine after all these years. When he first started out, he couldn't do it well. I go, okay. Well, you know what you got to do. He hasn't done it.
Must be something deep in his subconscious that's locking the shooting power.
I think, honestly, it might be, but I think some of it is just normal immaturity manifesting itself in an annoying way. Some people don't work as hard as they're supposed to. Barkley talks about how Moses Malone had to get on. He's told that story in every city in America. And that's how it manifests with him. He wasn't working out. He was eating bad. And then he got mature and he ate better and he stopped. With Ben, I think it's this, he has this shield around him. And as he matures, that shield comes down. And that's when I think it gets unlocked. The problem is the Sixers could possibly win now because Embiid's game looks like it's at a point where him plus a player could win something. And Ben's shield holds it back. I think it's just immaturity, regular immaturity.
I think it's a mental barrier.
It could be, but I'm not saying you should meditate. My opinion is it's just normal immaturity that he will outgrow, but the question is when will he outgrow it?
He's 24 years old, Tyrone.
Hey, 24. I was very dumb at 24. Still pretty dumb, and I'm way older than 24.
Guys come into this league at 19 and shoot the ball. Well, it's the one thing they'll never not do.
That's true, but he does work really hard. He works hard. He plays great defense. He sacrifices his body in that way. He does do other good things that other young people wouldn't do. It's not all negative. It's just that his one negative is so large because it doesn't make any sense.
He needs a red couch to lay on and talk to somebody. Figure out what the real issue is as to why he can't do it.
This is what he says.
It's not physical anymore. That ship is thinking it's some physical thing has sailed.
If he went on a show with Mike and Mike asked him about it and he was being honest, what he would say is, and he has said it to people in private, when I believe I shoot it well, I'll shoot it. In his mind, if he started shooting, he would miss a lot and it would hurt. This is his mind. And if he gets to the point where he feels confident in the shot, then he'll shoot it. Now, how many more thousands of shots will he have to shoot for him to feel confident?
But he has to break through that initial barrier. It's like cognitive behavioral therapy. That's what he needs.
But he works. He shoots all the time.
Yeah.
That therapy can't come on the court.
It's going to have to. They're going to have to figure out a way to transmit.
You can't have your doctor. You can't have six guys on the floor.
No, maybe. But maybe there's some sort of, you know, there's like things that therapists use to help people, like your nail biting or, you know, quitting smoking.
They can do that.
Like a whoopee or something. Here, like.
He has to go out on the court alone.
Hold this little stress ball. And then when you go into the game.
This is different.
You know, I feel like.
I don't know.
I feel like Lefty in Donnie Brasco.
Oh boy!
Where his kid was, yeah, he had the drug situation, and he was on the ventilator, and he's telling Donnie Brasco how disheartened he was because his kid was a failure. That's the way I feel. It's the way I feel right now.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Donnie.
Oh, that's all right. You're taking a baton. You're taking the baton for Ben. You think
that's
it's going to happen. You think
that's
it's going
right.
to happen.
No, I truly do. I truly do. I don't know if anybody close to Ben is listening or watching the show. I still truly believe. But he has to recognize with a little bit more urgency and realize, look around him with the new coach and everything. The spotlight's going to come on him in a way that I don't know if he's prepared for that. This is going to be different than the spotlight growing up. If they come up short, if Embiid keeps playing the way he's playing, and Doc Rivers is a pedigree coach, he has to realize that if they lose this year for several months, the only thing he will hear publicly is that it was all his fault and only his fault. It won't be any more sharing the blame if Embiid's the MVP candidate and they lose. I hope he knows that. It's going to be, hey, Ben, what's up with you? You, not Brett Brown. Not Embiid, you. And that hasn't happened to him before. I hope he's prepared for that. To take that kind of burden in Philadelphia. That ain't an easy thing.
But I think what's going to make it worse. Like, that's what's already made his problem worse, I think. I don't know what the answer is,
He won't even hear that, Tyrone.
He won't even hear it.
He's hearing stuff. He's been hearing stuff for 3 years. Doesn't hear it.
But they hear, oh, Embiid's fat and out of shape. Oh, Brett Brown can't coach. Now it will be Embiid got in shape and is playing great. Doc Rivers is a great coach. You know why they lost? Solely because of you. That would be different. And I don't know if he's ready for it.
That would be the light bulb?
I think so.
Okay.
I honestly do think so.
All right. Let's take a quick break. Tim McMahon's going to join us. We'll talk about these Eagles mess. What they're going to do on Sunday. They're going to play to win? Sure. We're back into this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 3:30, and it's time to get up there in our Twitter poll on a general hours Wednesday day as we head to New Year's Eve tomorrow, then New Year's Day. Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Eganoff. Nat.
Alrighty, Mike, over 1,000 votes on this one so far. With the Sixers 3-1, are you more happy about their record or more frustrated with Ben Simmons' lack of shooting? 41% are happy about the record. 59% are frustrated with Ben.
The second poll.
Should T.O. still be mad at McNabb after 16 years? 44% say yes, made him leave. 56% say no, petty at this point. But, like, that's so close.
It is.
44%
is so
holding grudges.
I'll tell you what. Five, if you're listening, I'll take the libel case. And I love T.O. And I love y'all. But I'll take the libel case because enough's enough.
That would be very full circle.
You got to stand up for the legalities here.
It'd be full circle for your life.
It would be.
Wouldn't it?
A pro bono, five. How about that?
You'd win. I think you'd win.
Yes, of course I'd win. Come on, damage his reputation. The man can't get a job.
If anybody knows.
He can't get out. Nobody's going to hire him. Every job he gets, he loses. All right, let's talk Eagle issues with the man who joins us with the Eagles midweek training report. Or midweek report. It's brought to us by Training Camp. And you can get IT certified fast at Training Camp online at trainingcamp.com. Let's talk to the great Tim McManus covering Eagles for ESPN.com. Hello, Timmy.
Mike, you're repping five?
I'll do a pro bono. I'll do pro bono. He said I had to pay my expenses to Arizona, and we're good.
That fight won't end, man. It is unbelievable.
It's so silly. And what else so silly is this Eagles situation. How about that for a segue here? However, interestingly enough, Doug talked, and he talked with some bravado, or I thought he really wanted to give his resume to, I don't know whether he wanted to give it to the front office or the fans, but I think you agree with Doug. Because I'm reading your story here at ESPN.com, and you go, Peterson has a proven track record that shouldn't be dismissed after one down unordinary season. He continues to command the loyalty of his players and staff. He's earned a chance to turn things around. I couldn't disagree with that more, but I want to hear your viewpoint on this.
I know that you and I differ on this.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, it's all good. But yeah, I mean, the basic thought is that Peterson, I know that he gets a lot of heat and he deserves every bit that he's gotten this season, but he also has accomplished a lot of things during his time here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did help deliver a Super Bowl trophy, the first one ever in the city's history. That's real. That happened. He was the coach. He didn't just kind of stumble into it. Mm-hmm. And he helped the team to the playoffs over the last 3 years. I thought that, you know, him kind of finally talking with confidence about himself was interesting. I thought the timing was really interesting because it was like a coach that was really hard. It was hard for him to find any answers this year. And he kind of, his press conferences came off that way. He's a guy who didn't have the answers.
Mm-hmm.
But he, you know, he talked in this most recent one like he's a guy that has all the answers to fixing this problem. So I thought that shift was very interesting out of Peterson.
Well, it's, you know, you could say anything you want. I thought it came off as a desperate man with nothing to lose, trying to remind people that at one time they won. But I have seen, like, if this is a stock, it's not on the rise the way he has coached this year. And I understand all the problems that he had, but he was not a very good coach this year. This was a poorly coached team. And when you say he still has the loyalty of his players, I don't believe that's the case, because there wouldn't be all these terrible mistakes, like 6 false starts last week. That's all a part of guys playing for you.
Yeah, I think with Peterson, I mean, there aren't, like, excuses because everybody's dealing with the same problem. But I genuinely believe this about Peterson. Like, he is, like, his strength is being a connector, is getting a team, is building up camaraderie, to getting the team to buy in and to kind of generate, you know, that common purpose and energy. And I think that the way that the season was set up, it did not play to his strengths at all. Without the benefit of an off season, with these guys not being around each other, you know, even Brandon Graham was talking today, and the players council that used to meet every week, like, just stopped meeting this year. So I do kind of buy in, at least in part, that the circumstances of the season did not play to this head coach's strengths. Now, ultimately, you got to move past that, and I recognize that. I mean, it's, you know, everybody's got to do the same thing, but I don't think that this was a good setup for Peterson. And I do believe that the right path forward is with Peterson as the head coach, but that is only under a specific condition here. And that is if the front office recognizes that they need to give this guy some breathing room. I think that, you know, there's a feeling that they have encroached upon his territory too much. There's some people, that don't think that he's being shown enough respect. I think that it's, you know, the fact that they, you know, helped make him decisions about his assistant staff, both who was going and who was coming on there, ultimately proved to not be a good mix chemistry wise. And I think that they need to show him, give him that space and show him that respect if this thing is going to work moving forward.
It makes a lot of sense. However, why are they doing that in the first place? Are they doing it because they really don't believe in him. And if they don't really believe in him, what's the sense of keeping him?
I think that's a valid point. I also just think that sometimes things can go a little bit askew. I think that when Howie Roseman came back after the whole thing with Chip, with, you know, a fresh perspective, collaborative mindset, you had Joe Douglas working in there, and everybody was kind of bouncing off of each other really well. And then, you know, it just seems like the balance of power started shifting where it was Lori and Roseman that were taking on more and taking more away from Peterson. And I understand your point, you know, but at the same time, like, they can't be of the mindset like, oh, well, it was us that delivered the championship. Like, no, man, like that head coach delivered that championship too. And I think that there's merit in recognizing that you got to check yourself. You got to empower him. You can't think that you're the ones with all the answers. And I do agree with you, Mike, though. If they don't think that he's, you know, capable of being on his own in that respect, then they should end it.
Yeah, he was kind of pleading for a little more input, I guess. So you think that is a possibility? That, first of all, do you believe that there will be any changes?
No. So I think my best guess right now is that Peterson and Roseman are back. You know, so I think that those two will remain in place. I mean, I think that there's going to be a change of quarterback is my best guess right now. Like, if you had to ask me, I would say I don't know that Wentz is going to be on this team. So I think there's going to be major changes, and we'll see about the rest of the staff. This Jim Schwartz day. I think that we're going to see some pretty significant things happen. But at least as of right now, I think that it's going to be Peterson. But there is still that conversation to be had of like, what is Lori thinking? Like, how much input is he going to want to have on Peterson? How much of his staff is he going to want to control? And how's Peterson going to respond to that? Mm-hmm. I mean, those are all questions that we still have to answer.
All right, so there will have to be some changes to maximize the situation that they're both back. You're not getting any indication that Howie Roseman is in trouble. There've been reports that he's totally safe. He's not even being thought about me being moved out. I mean, should he be? Should he be safe?
You can make a case that he should not be safe. You know, what is hard about it is the fact that the Super Bowl is not in a rearview that far for him either. You know, he has accomplished some things in pretty recent history that he deserves credit for. But you also now take a look at the recent draft history, at the recent free agent acquisitions, at his management of the cap and those kind of decisions. And it has created this situation where you have a bad, old football team without a lot of like bona fide prospects that you can be excited about. So yeah, you can make the case that Roseman's seat should be hot, but I haven't picked up an indication that it is.
All right, so let's get to the Wentz part, because you said something that's very interesting. You don't believe he'll be a part of this team, which means you believe the Eagles will be willing to bite the 34.6 cap hit on that. Did I hear you right?
I mean, that's where I am right now. I don't know that it's been decided, but there's a couple things here. There's another piece of information I think that we need to consider when we're forming our thoughts about Wentz, and that is that if he were to come back in this situation of it's a quarterback competition between him and Jalen Hurts, and Hurts wins the job, which, I mean, I think all of that is very reasonable. If Hurts misses time and Wentz has to go in, like, if Wentz gets hurt, that guarantees a whole other set of money for him. In other words, it almost puts in, like, where they would be further married to Wentz if he were to get hurt in that situation. And so that's one factor of many when we're kind of painting this whole thing out. But I do believe that they've hit a point where it's hard to move on from Hurts. I think that it is you're inviting the same exact thing if you bring both of those quarterbacks back. I think you're just right here where we are right now in terms of the controversy. And so that's the way I'm leaning right now. Okay. You know, if you had to ask me, that's where I'd be leaning.
All right. Well, we shall see where this goes. I mean, there's so many layers to this. What happens on Sunday? Do they play younger players? Do they even care about winning this game? How should they approach this?
I mean, they're going to be playing that, you know, they have a lot of younger players already in there. I think that, I don't think that their approach is going to be changing dramatically. And you know, they're trying to bring up the whole, you know, pride point. And Jim Schwartz said, like, a no hat rule. Like, you know, we don't want to see any championship hats, in that building. And so, you know, they're trying to rally and to put their best foot forward. But, you know, then you just look at the personnel that they're rolling out there. Jordan Mailata wasn't at practice today. He remains in the concussion protocol. So you're probably going to have another, if he can't clear it, then that means here comes another tackle in, maybe Brett Toth to go with Matt Pryor against the defensive line that's very strong in a Washington team that is tied for fifth in sacks with 44. So I think that they're going to give it their best effort, and it's a matter of, you know, is it enough?
What about Zach Ertz? Like, this is a precarious spot that they're in, both for them and for him, because I'm sure they're thinking that they need to move on from him in a trade. So, like, why would they defeat any value he has by playing him?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point, but I haven't heard that they're not going to be doing that. I mean, just every indication that I've had so far is that they're going to be putting out the guys that can play with the full intent of trying to win and kind of let the chips fall where they may. So
I'm sure he's going to be thrilled about that. any event, Timmy, great stuff. Have a happy new year. You got one more to go. I don't know what your playoff plans are, but I guess you get a nice hibernation after this.
Yeah, well, actually, not really. I feel like the season's just starting here, Mike. Yeah. You know, from a reporter's perspective.
Yeah, that's right. You got to keep digging.
Crazy here for a little while.
I hear you. All right, man. Thank you.
Happy New Year, Mike.
You too. There is Tim McManus with the Midweek Eagles Report, brought to us by Training Camp. Get IT certified fast at Training Camp, online at trainingcamp.com. All right, let's take a quick break. This is a 3-minute break. We'll come back with your phone calls and hit you hard here on General Knowledge Wednesday after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Five, The Fanatic.
It's 3:47. The Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. We were talking this McNabb TO thing. Freddie chimes in now. At Terrell Owens, I'm not a betting man, but there is a great possibility that Donovan was drinking the night before the Super Bowl game. Just don't ask me to do your taxes, with a crying emoji. The laugh cry.
Yeah, and the photo?
And the photo is McNabb serving a 10-day, 18-day sentence. His mugshot for his DUI arrest in Arizona.
For a second DUI. So he used, like...
Dude, man, this is... These guys are, man, they're on the edge.
I'm a little uncomfortable.
I'm uncomfortable. I want to say again, I'm 100% team 5 on this. He's minding his own business. He had troubles in the past with alcohol. That doesn't mean because you've had a trouble with alcohol that you can now float out any story out there to slander a guy 16 years later. Because you had a problem with alcohol doesn't mean you showed up to work drunk and it affected your play. There was no proof of that at the time. And now they're using transgressions that he made after he was a player to try to further slander him. And I'm uncomfortable with the situation.
Freddie is really on dangerous ground, because I don't know if you can characterize him as a public figure at this point.
Didn't he did a little bit of time, right? I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
He did.
He did a little bit of time.
Now, truth is always the defense. If Freddie Mitchell's a witness to that, then I guess he's free and clear. But he's got to prove he was a witness.
I think maybe they all need therapy as well. Group therapy.
Yeah, because this is an old beef, and if you're holding on to something, they're now reminding me a little bit of like the guy I run into from high school that was cool, that maybe isn't so cool now.
Yeah.
And he wants to prove to me that he's cool because they think I'm cool now because they think I have a cool job.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, all right, guy, just be happy with your wife and kids. Like, why are you trying to be cool? I feel like they're trying to look at me back in the day. Like there's something unseen.
It's a bit Mean Girls, the approach as well.
It really is.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Mike in Philly. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Mike, you Liz.
What's up, buddy?
Tied in that. I'm an old school Philadelphia fan. I am so mad at all Philadelphia teams, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you why?
Why?
I was born in 1960, Mike, at Philadelphia General Hospital, down Civic Center Boulevard. The only thing down there was Franklin Field, the vet, I believe, if you remember, the vet, Franklin Field, and the Civic Center.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in January, the year that they won the championship. Wasn't it in January the 13th, I believe? In 1960?
I wasn't around. Yeah.
I wasn't around.
I mean, I don't remember the championship. I'm sorry.
In 1960, Mike?
Yeah, I don't. I have no
idea. Oh, January 1960, I was born.
Okay.
PAGA, Philadelphia General Hospital.
Yeah, I know it happened. I just wasn't, it wasn't in my wheelhouse, you know.
Well, I thought we was around the same age, Mike. Mm-hmm. 1960, I was born. Mm-hmm. Not too far from Franklin Field, about 40 yards from Franklin Field in Philadelphia General Hospital.
Yeah, okay.
When they won their championship. So coming up to date now to the Eagles. Love them. When I started watching the Eagles, Roman Gabriel was the quarterback.
Yeah, I got your histories as an Eagle fan. At what point did you want to make?
I want to make the point this. I'm so upset with them because we got out of the fiasco with Chip Kelly. I'm selling our team away. Right back in another fiasco with the Eagles and the situation that they're in.
Yes, it is a fiasco. Now
yeah.
We know this.
Yes.
What is your point about it? Like, what has to happen?
I don't know. We're in another fiasco. Can I move on to the Sixers now?
Sure. Go ahead.
I'm mad at all four Philadelphia teams.
All right, you're just mad at them. All right, okay. Now what's your Sixer point?
One of them. Okay, in 1977, Gene Shue drew up the last shot against the Portland Trailblazers, if you remember. He let Big Mac take the last shot, George McGinnis. And it should have been Dr. J.
Yeah.
He took that last shot.
Listen, man, I lived that. I remember that. I don't know. We had to go back to 77. Like, you're still living that?
That was just a little bit of sports knowledge.
I got you, man. I appreciate the call. All right. I know the history. He was mad.
Yeah. I've been mad I'm a Philadelphia fan. Yeah. I've been mad about most stuff.
He's going to make a point on the Sixers. There,
that's what I was waiting for.
But he chose not to. That's all right. So 610-632-0975 is how you climb into the show. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show. 4 o'clock. We have plenty of time. We have your calls. General Knowledge Wednesday. Andrew Brandt coming up at 4:30. Again, we'll replay this Mike Tannenbaum way to get rid of Wentz. McManus just said you're going to just bite it. You don't have to have a Tannenbaum creative method. You just bite it. So we'll see where this leads with Andrew Brandt after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4 o'clock hour, Mike Mussinelli Show. All topics on board. You got one major topic with the Philadelphia Eagles and what's going to happen from this point on. You got some support that Peterson should be back. We just talked to Tim McManus and Tim Wright in today's piece in ESPN.com. Peterson has a proven track record that shouldn't be dismissed after one down unordinary season. Continues to command the loyalty of players and staff. I don't agree with that. He's earned a chance to turn things around. All right. But my thing is attached to the wagon of you got to have Wentz because it's not easy to just let Wentz go with that cap hit. So that's in my equation. May not be in anybody else's equation. 610-622-0975. Let's start the 4 o'clock hour with Kenny in Philly. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Ken?
Hey, I got a question. Is Daryl Morey waiting on, you know, the midseason in order to get James Harden? Because right now, anybody could see that Ben Simmons is not going to get the job done. I mean, just the bottom line.
Well, they're 3-1. So, I think he kind of wants to see if it can work, and he'll come to the conclusion maybe a little later it doesn't work, and then maybe by that time Houston's price goes down. I mean, there's no advantage to doing it right this moment. You know, it's a regular season. You want to get the playoffs are the most important thing, so... Meanwhile, you buy yourself some time, see how this works out. Then maybe the price goes down. It comes intolerable. He doesn't want to play in Houston. And then their price goes down where they're just going to take Simmons instead of Simmons Plus.
What?
You got me?
Thanks.
All right. Is that good enough?
Yeah, thanks.
All right, Kenny, you want a general knowledge question?
Sure.
All right, here we go. It's the general knowledge category. What did Rumpelstiltskin spin into gold?
Rumpelstiltskin.
You know that?
No.
All right, man. You got it. Rumpelstiltskin. It's a grim fairy tale, isn't it?
Yes, and he spun straw.
Spun straw into gold.
Yes, he did.
Yes, the Grimm brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a nice skill to have.
Yes, it is.
I mean, come on.
It's an ultimate skill,
that'd
isn't
be
it?
Great. Go get me a bunch of that stuff for
more
free.
Valuable than gold.
Right, you get that for free, and then don't worry, we're going to get a new house. Oh, yeah. Just go give me some of that, and I'll, it'll be gold before you know it.
Yeah. What was the deal with that?
I always...
Who it was Rumpelstiltskin?
I always...
He was a Miller, right?
Yeah, but I confused his story... Kind of with Rapunzel's, right?
Or her hair over the thing so the guy can climb up. Isn't that her story?
Somebody stuck their finger.
The guy that put the finger in the well is different.
No, it was a girl who did it.
Who stuck the finger in the well?
No, she put her finger on the spinning wheel. I confused whatever the story that is with Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah, it's not. They're two different
stories. Two different, right?
Yes, two different stories.
I think Rumpelstiltskin, he was just like this short, old, like, wasn't he like a hobbit? Or something?
I think he was. He was a little man.
Okay.
But he was a Miller. But he was like, you know, he had this special thing. He was poor, but this made him rich, that skill.
Which led to a lot of women.
I
don't think that's it.
What?
There was okay. It says that there was like a baby involved.
Well, of course, he probably had a lot of babies. He had a lot of women.
No.
Because he could have a lot of gold.
No, he said...
He's an imp.
An imp?
Yeah, he's an imp.
If he's an imp, then he probably can't have any babies, right?
He's an imp, which is a little good dude, I guess.
Yeah.
They call him imps.
There's
and disrespecting the imp.
He steals somebody's baby.
He lied to the king, is what happened.
Right.
He said his daughter could spin straw into gold.
Right, and then it says, whose baby does he take?
Yeah, I don't know. It's involved. I can't remember. I remember when the daughter was involved somehow. He pimped the daughter.
He pimped who, Rumpelstiltskin or the king?
He told the king. The daughter could spin the gold, but he couldn't. And somehow Rumpelstiltskin pulled it off.
Oh.
I don't know. I can't. I don't remember.
She has to guess his name.
Yeah.
And that's it.
It's very involved. It was a German fairy tale.
It's a bit more deeper than we, that's than we thought.
John in Richboro. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hello, Mike.
What's up, John?
My question is about the Sixers game last night. Mm-hmm. I hope Tyrone could help answer this question for me. I am wondering why, if the Sixers have a center who needs to be double-teamed and maybe triple-teamed, and Toronto does not have an inside presence that needs that done, and the Sixers are supposed to be a very good defensive team, why is Toronto getting all the open threes all the time, the whole game, and the Sixers, every three seems to be contested?
Well, listen, three-point shots are available because they're spread way out, all right? So you have to clamp down to get to the spots, and they did it early on. They were just firing at will because they were getting that shot, right? You can pretty much get a three-point shot. It's not going to be contested as hotly as something else. But they did put an emphasis on that defensively as the game went on.
I just don't understand why we're not getting the I would think we would be getting more open threes than a team like Toronto.
Well, Toronto makes it an emphasis. The Sixers don't make it as much of an emphasis at this point.
Well,
but they come down off breaks.
You need an adjustment.
Well, yeah, really, they're coming down. I'm looking at the shot clock's at 18. They're firing. You know, the Sixers don't really play that way because they run everything through Embiid.
Well, okay. But
they're not. Listen, the Sixers have technically improved their shooting. So with Curry and supposedly Danny Green, although he isn't shown yet. But they're not. They're you wouldn't look at the Sixers as this dynamite three-point shooting team right now. You know, they'll make him in the swing of the offense with an open shooter is what they are more than a let's fire.
Yeah, I just thought that we would get more open looks with you see Embiid. He's always has at least two guys on him, and usually a third guy's coming over to try and steal the ball.
Yeah, and you're right. So a kick out three should be available, and they've had a few of them last night. Curry had a few of them last night.
Well,
on a kick out
with one, but we just seem to be more contested. I just thought we'd have. I know.
Well, again, look at the way the teams play. You watch the way Toronto play. They're coming down and firing early before defense can get set. You saw that right last night. They were firing all over the place.
Yeah, and from pretty deep sometimes.
Right, too. So they had a pace to it where they set up threes instead of running an offense through a center.
I guess that's the answer then. We didn't need Tyrone, did we?
Mike's fine.
All right, man, listen.
Thanks, Mike.
Would you like a general knowledge question? Let me give you
sure.
one. All right, this is you're reading your 2020 year in review of the United States. These are fairly easy questions. So let's go with this one here. What was the U.S. effort which developed the COVID-19 vaccines in record time called?
Warp Speed.
That's correct. Operation Warp Speed.
Yeah, here we are.
Yes, real fast, Mike. That call is an example of Negadelphia that still exists. For the record, last night, the Raptors shot 35.8%. The Sixers, who clanged it all night, shot 38%. They shot a higher percentage from the field than the Raptors did. The Raptors scored a whopping 93 points.
Yeah,
yet our minds get trained into, man, look how they shot at the lights out.
People, because it was an emphasis, but Zoo and Aloe, they were kind of like, oh, they're shooting 44% now from three. Early on in the game, they were just coming down. They were firing.
Right. And as the game.
The Sixers don't really play that way.
Right. But the defense got raised. 37 points in the second half by the Raptors. Like, the Sixers played really good defense.
And the thing about three-point shots is you're not going to make all of them. Even if it's not contested, you're going to miss your share because, you know, a top 40 three-point shooter is going to shoot 40%. So the law of averages is going to play out there.
Right. They ended up making 37.8% when they were up. At one point, they were 50%.
Yes.
And then started missing partially to Ben Simmons and Siakam throwing up bricks.
Yeah.
8 for 23.
Yeah, they played, I thought, with no offensive discipline in that second half, Toronto.
Yeah,
they were taking horrendous threes.
Yeah, they're just still trying to, you're right, I think they're still trying to find it. And I think some of that, I give some credit to the Sixers for running them off some spots, but you're right. They'll find it because that coach is good, but they don't have it yet.
Yeah, let's go Doc in Mitzpah. What's up, Doc?
Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
So, I'm going to run this by you. Just let me lay it out.
Mm-hmm.
So, why can't, in a little office with Doc Rivers, Ben Simmons, have Daryl Morey in there too, and just tell Ben, you know, not like you're giving him an ultimatum, you know, don't like push him into a corner. Just say, Ben, lay out the X's and O's for him. And say, you know, like you were talking about earlier, this is the only way that we can win a championship and you can take your game to the next level.
He knows that, and they've done that.
Okay, he knows that. Okay,
he knows that, and they've done it. They did it under Brett Brown. They got Sam Cassell working with the guy every day shooting shots. He knows it.
Yeah. Okay, so he's getting better at shooting, even though he's not doing it in the game. So, okay, Ben, What I want you to do is take two shots a game, 12 to 18 feet, okay? And as you know, just do that. Do it early in the game. Maybe you'll see, you know, you make one.
Doc, it's not easy just to say, hey, Ben, you got to take more shots. He knows that already. It's in the game where he has to pull the trigger. It's nothing. You can tell a guy, take two shots a half. It doesn't mean he's going to do it.
Okay, now. The next thing is, you say, Ben, of course, for this to work, there has to be a consequence if you don't do it. So it's going to have to affect your minutes. But that won't be a problem because you're going to take a couple of shots early in the game.
Yeah, well, I actually asked Doc Rivers about that when we had him on about the punitive measures. And he says, I'm not thinking of punitive measures when it comes to that. I think too many people make too big of a deal about it. It may have to get to that point. I don't know. I've given up. I got nothing left except watching it and suffering.
Right. We all do. You can't punish somebody if you didn't tell them ahead of time what the rules are.
Yeah,
they've told them.
Yeah, they've told them. And he knows it from peers. It's the issue that surrounds him. So he would have to be a pod not to recognize it. All right, man. Here's your general knowledge question.
Okay.
Yearly number one hit songs in the U.S. You a songsman?
Yes. I hope you are. More than 30 years old.
Are you 30?
I said I hope it's more than 30 years
old. Oh, you want to go away? All right. Well, I'll go way back for you. let's go with this. 1980. Call Me.
That was... I'm pretty sure that was Blondie.
That's correct. Hold on, Doc. I get back to 1980.
Yes, Debbie Harry.
And that was part of the soundtrack of American Gigolo, right?
I don't know.
Richard Gere's American Gigolo?
No, I'm aware of the movie. I'm not aware of the soundtrack.
I think she was all over that soundtrack.
Oh.
Blondie.
That's one of my least favorite of her songs.
Call Me?
Yeah. It's like a whatever song.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, why is this
number one though?
Yeah, I know it was a hit, and I'm sure when she does her tours, people need want to hear it. I just that would be time for me to go to the bathroom.
All right, let's go to
now. We know how to get him out of the room.
Kevin in Delaware. Kevin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kevin,
Happy New Year to the big three.
What's up, Kev?
Hey, Mike. I wanted to make a quick point about the Sixers and Eagles, but I want to scratch that because I want to talk about Donovan and Mick and T.O.
Okay.
I'm a huge Donovan McNabb fan. I think T.O. is a knucklehead and he got a screw loose. I think that Donovan saw what happened in San Francisco, that sideline break that he had. When he came to Philly, Donovan must have saw something in practice. He must have saw something in the game, the way this dude was, you know, acting, and he said that he's not going to go to bat for him because there's something wrong with this dude. He thought the world of Brian Westbrook. Brian said something about it last time y'all was talking about it. He talked about friendship, you know, and T.O., Donovan did not think about T.O. like he thought about Westbrook.
Yeah, but you can't. But see, as the leader, you can't play favorites like that because let me ask you: if it was done to you, Kevin, had a coworker who spoke up for one of your other workers and not for you, as far as getting a raise, how would you feel?
Mike, I don't know. I don't know what you're saying, but it's about friendship, Mike.
As a quarterback, you're the leader. Leader of the team. It's not about friendship. It's not like Jim and Joe walking down the street together in some little town. This is pro football.
T.O. was a great teammate, Mike. He was a great teammate, but Dom was not going to go to Baptist.
Let me ask you this. Did T.O., of course there's something wrong with him. And with something wrong with him, did he make Donovan a better player?
I said that he would play with him because he's a number one receiver.
Okay, well then he helped Donovan, didn't he? He helped Donovan succeed.
But he got a screw loose, Mike. That dude got a screw loose.
Yeah, well, Mike, we all know. Kevin, we all know he's got a screw loose. But this is not the point.
But see,
you're boiling it down in general human terms. This is quarterback football, pro football terms that are different.
It's not different. It's not, Mike. It's not to me. It's not different.
All right, well.
All right.
Now, you want to do general knowledge, Kevin? Because you've been hot. Come on, man. You've been hot. Come on, Kevin. Last names in U.S. history. So I'm going to give you the first names of somebody. All you got to do is give me their last name. All right? Ahead, you ready for that?
Go ahead.
Let's go with Jesse Etta Henry. What last name am I looking for? Jesse Etta Henry.
I don't know, Mike.
Oh, man. Come on, man. That's James I'm looking for.
Etta's my girl.
All right, Jesse James, Etta James, mm-hmm. Henry James.
No, Henry. Who's Henry?
They mentioned Rick James.
Oh, no, they did not mention Rick James.
He got us, you said Rick. I don't know if he would have got
us. Yeah, maybe I should have substituted Rick instead of Henry.
Nah.
Who is Henry?
You think Kevin would have got...
I think he would have got it with the Super Freak.
Henry's an author, isn't he?
Henry James?
Yeah, I think he's an author.
Oh, he is, yeah.
Yeah, American author. Yeah, what did he do?
He did.
Old school.
The Portrait of a Lady.
All right, that's old school. Like what?
Daisy Miller, late 1800s.
Yeah.
The Wings of the Dove.
Mm-hmm.
The Turn of the Screw.
All right, there you go. Turn of the Screw.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to Joe and Brigantine. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic, Joe.
Hey, Mike. Happy New Year to everybody.
Hope you too, buddy.
Hey, I want to stay positive. Mm-hmm. Regarding the Eagles front office is really, and the ownership is really ticking me off.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what's going on here, I see good news and Jeffrey's going to have to respond. The Sixers and the Phillies just upgraded their front office.
Mm-hmm.
They're good. He's going to get left in the dust. He's going to be the worst team for the next couple of years in Philly sports. So it's time for him to wake up. This is my beef. So who's running that organization? Back in the draft, we took Hurts. We should not have taken Hurts, or we should have said we don't have a good... Once we signed the quarterback to the big money, there's no way you take a backup in the second round. So that just shows dysfunction, shows there's no strategy. And I heard earlier from Tim McManus, you said about Doug. You know, Doug maybe should have stood up and said, hey, look, I get a good second round pick. We could make some damage in this season coming up. That was just a waste of pick. So I'm hoping that I don't want to be the worst. Football's my game. I don't want to be the worst team in Philly sports being the football team, but I don't think we're going to get around that at all for the next couple of years.
I agree that they need to make a bigger splash. The more I'm thinking about this, the more I think that's not going to happen. I find it interesting that the reason why they don't give Doug the input is obviously because they don't think that much of him. So I go, what's the point of having him as your coach?
Well, I agree with you. I think we caught lightning in the bottle. When his press conferences and when he sits, the stands are like, now Andy Reid's a genius now because he went to Kansas City and got a really good quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he has that same dumb look on his face with the freaking big menu, you know, card chart.
Yes, I think he is, tased. He's tased on the sidelines by that chart.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, he goes ubats, as we say.
Yeah, and it's too much of it. Now, one thing about mm-hmm. Reed, I see now, he's going over and talking to his quarterback. Stepping off the field, talking to him. I never see, a lot of offensive coordinators talking to the quarterback.
He's buried in his chart. He doesn't have time for chit-chat. He's buried in his chart. There's time for chit-chat. All right, man. You got a general knowledge question? General knowledge. What beverage is often described as peaty? P-E-A-T-Y.
P-E-A-T-Y.
Yes. I'm sorry?
P-E-A-T-Y.
Peaty. This beverage is described as that. I guess the taste of it.
Bourbon.
Ah. Incorrect. It's Scotch. Scotch is peaty.
I bet. I wouldn't know myself. You drink Scotch?
Oh, the peat. No, I'm not a Scotch man. I'm a bourbon guy.
Oh, sorry.
I can't never drink Scotch.
I've sipped it.
It doesn't. There's something about Scotch that doesn't jive with me.
You're not a Scotch.
Not a Scotchman.
I'm a bourbonist.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. By the way, I just did a little. I did an Obatz. I watched an Italian movie last night.
Oh.
It was on. I forget what it was on, but it's called The Traitor or Il Trattatore. And it's a true life story of a guy who was an informer on the mafia in Italy. A former Cosa Nostra member in Sicily who turned on the mafia. Like we had the famous guy we had here who turned was Valachi back in the day. This guy's name was Tommaso Buscetta. And the thing was in Italian, subtitled.
Oh, nice.
It was actually pretty good.
Sounds like
real life.
Love those true stories.
Yeah, yeah. They did some bad things as a judge.
But they do.
Blew his ass up.
Oh, no.
Well,
oh, yeah.
Watch the movie.
Oh.
You got to watch it.
Well, I can't now.
Why?
Because I know the end.
No, it's not the end. That's just a part of it.
All right.
Because he was trying to prosecute the mob. So he was trying to, like,
got in the way.
So where do you come off on the snitch factor on a mob in a mob situation?
No, you can't. Because if you're in the mob, you can't be telling. Well, you're doing crime.
Let me tell you what the new mob. He was a Cosa Nostra member who followed the tenets of Cosa Nostra, which had honor.
That's right. That's what it's supposed to be.
But then these guys got a little headstrong. They start killing women and children as part of the casualties.
Oof.
That's what turned him off to the whole thing.
You still can't snitch. You were doing dirt. You signed up for that.
Well, he got out of Dodge.
The women and children can call the cops, of course, because they're regular people. That's not snitching.
Okay, but he got out of Dodge, and they hunted down his family, killed some of his family. Then what?
Yeah, you go get the... You were a mobster. Go get your revenge. You cannot snitch once you commit crime.
Well, he can't... one man against the whole crew. The only way he can get him back is to turn out on him.
That's part of the reason why you don't go into the mob.
What?
Because you can't be telling.
Well, you don't go into the mob. Because it was a code of honor. Once the code of honor is gone, is it then, like, it's not the mob you knew?
It's no. Not, but you know that going in, you still can't
speak. You don't know it going in. You don't know they're going to turn where they're going to kill everybody. There's a code of honor. It was never women and children.
It's about with criminals.
But it's loyalty to the family, right?
It is. Loyalty to the family. You don't kill women and children. It's part of the loyalty.
Look, I know. I agree. I'm just...
All right. On the other side.
Thought that was the overarching rule for any sort of...
I think they crossed the line. It killed people that shouldn't have been killed. So they got to go down.
Well, then.
All right. Anyway. Coming up, Andrew Brandt. He's going to straighten out this Mike Tannenbaum thing. We're going to play it again for you with Andrew on. And he LOL'd in a tweet. We'll see if he snickers on live radio. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4:32, it's Mike Missinelli Show. Let's get a Twitter poll update before we get to some general manager knowledge on the Carson Wentz situation. And we go to the Twitter poll with Natalie Agonoff. It's brought to us by Paul B. Morgan Sons. Nat.
Thanks, Mike. Over 1,200 votes on this one today. With the Sixers 3-1, are you more happy about their record or more frustrated with Ben Simmons' lack of shooting? 43% say happy about the record. 57% say that they're frustrated with Ben. And then poll number 2, should T.O. still be mad at McNabb after 16 years? 700 votes on this one. 42% say yes, you made him leave. 58% say no, it's petty at this point. So there you go.
All righty. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Let's get to our next guest. We look forward to talking to him all afternoon. He is on the Comcast Business Hotline, Bounce Forward. He is a world-renowned sports law scholar running the sports law program at Villanova Law School. He also has a podcast called The Business of Sports, the NFL Business Podcast. He's got a newsletter out there. You can get him on Twitter. He is, of course, the great Andrew Brandt joining us. Hello, Andrew.
Mikey, Miss, Ty, Natalie. Happy New Year to you guys.
Happy New Year to you. Thanks for coming on. And I know that you kind of had a similar reaction that I had with this. So let's first get to what we're talking about here. This is Mike Tannenbaum, former general manager in the league, and I assume you know him very well. And he is was on Get Up on ESPN. And this is how he fosters a theory on how it would be easier for the Eagles to get rid of him. Let's listen to what he has to say.
Right now, if Carson Wentz was traded as is before he earned a roster bonus, he would count $33.8 million on Philly's cap next year. However, under the rules, Greeny, if Carson Wentz wrote a check for $20 million before the end of the 2020 league year, the Eagles would get a credit next year, meaning he would only be $13,800,000 on their cap in 2021, which is a very reasonable number. At the same time, Carson Wentz could go take two visits. Presumably, it would be to New England and, most importantly, the Indianapolis Colts, because Frank Reich's had him before. They've had a lot of success. He could take a physical and renegotiate a contract. The contract, to me, would be really easy. Keep paying Carson Wentz $32 million a year, which is what he was making, and have the Colts pay him a signing bonus of $20 million, so he is now made whole, and he keeps on going on his contract.
All right. Andrew, what are the flaws of what he just said?
Okay, let me, I will get to Mike in like 20 seconds. Okay. I just got to set the stage for people one more time.
Okay.
No matter what happens, aside from this payback idea,
yeah,
there's $34 million hitting the cap if Carson Wentz is not here via trade. If he's not here via cut, then the team's destroyed. You know, that's half the cap. That's $60 million. So NFL economics is not like NBA or Major League Baseball economics. There's something called proration. So you do signing bonus. It count. You know, you're paying a guy say $20 million, but you have a 5-year deal. It only counts $4 million each year. But if you separate, all the remaining unamortized proration accelerates. And the Eagles not only did huge bonuses on Wentz, but they did option bonuses, roster bonuses that count. All of that would immediately accelerate. That's why you get the $34 million. Now, they have a $10 million roster bonus due the third day of the league year in March. So if there's going to be any separation, it has to be before that. You're not going to pay a guy $10 million to stick around and then cut him or trade him.
Mm-hmm.
So there seems to be little, if any, way that they can avoid that $34 million, which would be the highest cap number in the history of dead money, and I think by a good margin. I mean, Antonio Brown was $21
million. Mm-hmm.
That's about it. So here we go. This idea of paying back $20 million, listen, Mike and I, as you mentioned, are friends, came up in the business together. He was at the Jets with Belichick. I was at the Packers with Ron Wolf. Those two guys are good friends, so Mike and I became good friends. I've never seen it. He's never seen it. Here's what has to happen for that to happen. One, you have obvious and blatant tampering, right? Because the Colts would have to agree to something in advance of this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe you say, okay, well, the Eagles would allow it. I'm like, all right, let's take it another step. The Eagles allow it. The Eagles allow, basically, the agents for Wentz to negotiate with the Colts, which, again, you're straining the idea here, and to get a $20 million bonus back for Wentz giving up 20. Well, first of all, what 27-year-old, no matter how much he's made, has $20 million around to write a check?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, isn't that money in some kind of funds, investments, whatever it may be in? But you tell the financial manager, I need to write a $20 million check. They're like, are you kidding me? Yeah, but I'm going to get it back from the Colts. I don't get it.
All right, so let's take it one at a time here. It's a whimsical thing that he put out there, and logically, it really doesn't work. So, first of all, can you get beyond the tampering rules of the NFL if the team gives approval to it? I'm not even sure you could do that, but that's why I'm asking you.
When you get here, the example is when you get these disgruntled players, the Antonio Browns of the world, and the Steelers allow the Drew Rosenhauses of the world to talk to teams. But that's really about trades, right? That's about trades. Like, can Drew go drum up a trade for Antonio Brown? That's where I have seen quote-unquote allowable tampering.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen it in terms of an actual contract negotiation that's going to give $20 million to replace $20 million lost.
So the league might step in and say, no, you can't do that. That's first.
I think right? where we are, Mike, is that what I'm saying, it's not, I don't know what the word is, it's kind of boring, right? That Carson Wentz is untradeable and uncuttable. It's a bigger story if someone says, here's how you can do it.
Yeah.
But there's no here's how you can do it. I've heard guys on your program say, well, they'll do this. They'll get around it.
Yeah, there's no practicality to it. So no. let's just take the concept of him, if it were possible, to write a check for $20 million. What, the only way that they would want to do that is the life is so intolerable here, they can't even breathe the air here. They're so desperate to get out that they would give you the $20 million check. Counting on the Colts, not saying the Colts, like, why would the Colts do it? If the Colts could get him in a trade, they wouldn't have to give him $20 million back. They wouldn't have to pay him $38 million of the salary. So on both levels, why would either party do it?
You're trying to entice, part of this is trying to entice the Colts to give anything, right, in a trade compensation. If you tack on $20 million of a Colts obligation, to me, then you're trading Carson Wentz and valuable stuff, second-round pick, first-round pick.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea that the Colts, who have Phillip Rivers, people can be down on him that he's old, at $25 million, would then take on Carson Wentz in exchange, I guess, or cut, not go forward with Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
For the $25 million he's due,
uh-huh.
And then whatever, 28, 30, the years after that, plus 20? I mean, for a guy who was bottom five in all categories, I like Mike, I respect Mike, but I'm not sure, you know, everyone's trying to come up with theories here. There is no theory.
Let's talk about the tax ramifications. I don't want to get too deep and confuse people. Yep. Tax ramifications, that $20 million that Wentz would give has already been taxed, right? So right. Basically he has to pay more than $20 million in a check.
I believe that is the case. You know, the only time I dealt with this, Mike, in 10 years running a team is when I'd have guys that I gave advances to, you know, they give me the sob story, I need to get $50,000 to get my life together when I come up there, and then we cut them, and I got to get the $50,000 back.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about $20 million. I mean, I just can't imagine. Now, let's bring this down to any semblance of reality. What if Wentz pays back $1 million? Okay.
Yeah.
Then the cap hits 33 instead of 34. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's like, what are you doing here? Now, listen, I want to address again where people say, because this is my pet peeve, where people say, well, you know, if we lose the 35 in cash, the 10 bonus, the 25 salary, and take on the 35 in cap, it's a wash. It's not a wash, people. It's not a wash.
Yeah, people have a hard time grasping that.
You don't have the player.
Yes.
So, well, if you had the player, that's a better.
Yeah. What the reasoning is, well, whatever draft pick you get, it would just, you know, you should get a draft pick for that $34.6 million. That's how they rationalize it. So what you're saying is it's impractical to do it, which is where I've come from the whole time, that you effectively cannot get rid of Carson Wentz. So you have to go into next season with Carson as your starting quarterback. And my solution to that is you got to bring in another coach to touch Carson Wentz better than this guy's been able to do it. And also, it would help if you could move Hurts for value.
I hear a lot on your station and even national stations about, you know, who's back, who's not back for the Eagles. The guy, the of all the parties, and I'm friends with all of them, so I don't want to talk too much about Doug or Howie and all them, but of all the parties, you know, it's not even close who the most committed the team is to, right? Because of money.
Yeah.
It's not even close. There's more invested in Wentz than Howie, Doug times 20, right?
Yes.
So, to me, you know, this is, I keep saying it's so much more than a sunk cost. You have mortgaged your future for this guy. And now, I'm not the football guy, but wouldn't you want to see more of him, young, strong, 27 years old, whether Kurtz is better or not better? It just seems to me, now I'm putting myself in a general manager's position.
Yeah.
Like, why give up here?
Yeah, no, I get that. I can't tell you. I don't know if I want to see more. All I know is that I have to see more, right? Because
right.
I can't do anything else about it.
Right. Now, we can hindsight, and I did this with Joe Banner on the podcast. We can hindsight the decision to extend him after 3 years. And Joe's like, I would have done it, you know, and I probably would have done it too. That's what happens. You know, you get these guys in, they seem like the future, you do it. What you can hindsight is the structure, because I just talked about all the economics, the reason you have so much dead money. And I point to Garoppolo out in San Francisco. They front-loaded that cap. You know, they made a deal where I think Garoppolo got 40-something million the first year, 38 million of it in cap. So if they move on from Garoppolo, their dead money is $2 million.
Yeah, they structured it the right way.
It's structure, but you know, listen, the Eagles got behind the eight ball with cap.
Yeah.
So that's what you do.
All right. This is very enlightening. We appreciate you coming on. Now, that sounds like an interesting podcast. You're talking to Joe about this whole thing this week. So, business and sports, how can people get access to that podcast?
Yeah, wherever you find your podcast, Apple Podcasts, wherever you find them, there, Spotify, et cetera. It's my business and sports podcast. And now, just for the people who are interested, I'm offering a newsletter. So just kind of extra content for me delivered to your email every Sunday.
Awesome.
Andrew-Brandt.com to sign up for that.
Andrew-Brandt.com. And on Twitter, it's at Andrew Brandt. And that's A-N-D-R-E-W-B-R-A-N-D-T. Always a great follow, brother. And thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
All right, counselor. Take care.
All right. There is Andrew. It's incomprehensible to him.
Because
he's sensible.
Right. He's looking at the money. He realizes it. And then for the people out there, when he reminds us about the $60 million, I know we're about to go to break. But what they're not recognizing is the Eagles are going to be running up against a deadline if they really want to part with him.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to trade him, you have to find a suitor.
Yeah.
Wentz would have to be, I mean, he has no trade, but unfortunately, the client then has some clout with the trade. Because if you don't report it.
Yeah, the whole thing is so, like, it's so illogical. You can throw out, like Mike Tannenbaum, I'm sure, was trying to be creative, right? Because he doesn't have to be accountable for it. He just throws something out creative, and it's interesting to oh, yeah, how about that? But, like, I didn't even think about the tampering part of it.
Right, because
you know
he mentioned doing it. You have to do it by the first day of the league year. Well, how do you work out a deal the first day?
If you're not talking to him.
If you're not talking to a team already. Because on the third day, he gets another $10
million. Yeah.
He gets another 10 million.
It's crazy. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We have more of your calls. We have a whole 5 o'clock hour left on General Knowledge Wednesday. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 450. Mike Missinelli Show. Roll some phone calls here on General Knowledge Wednesday, which, by the way, brought to us by Testo North America, the choice of HVAC techs. Sukama have the most accurate tools in their toolbox. When precision measurements matter, be sure with Testo. Now, we're giving away $500 gift cards today. So five lucky listeners who've gotten a question correctly will be in the hat to be picked at random to Redstone American Grill. They're in Plymouth Meeting or they're in Marlton, New Jersey. Both locations open 7 days a week for lunch, dinner, and brunch on Sundays. You're a brunch man. You been to Redstone for brunch?
Yes, a while ago. Obviously, the pandemic slowed me down, but if they got the nice tent, maybe I need to get back out there.
Yeah, you can dine outdoors in their heated patios. You can order online at redstonegrill.com for curbside pickup or for order or delivery with DoorDash. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's get Laura and Rockledge in here. Laura, what's up?
Where'd you go?
Laura.
I'm here.
Go ahead, you're on.
Okay. So, hello, Michael, Natalie, Ty. Happy New Year to everybody. I hope you all had a nice Christmas.
You too, Laura. Thank you very much for asking.
Absolutely. So I have two quick things, and then I have a very disturbing situation I need to talk to you about.
Okay.
So the first thing is DeSean Jackson. Did he get fined or anything for that little flippity-doo-dah into the end zone that he didn't play the rest of the game? What an idiot.
He played after that. He was on the field. He wasn't targeted. He was in there for many plays.
Okay, because I thought he was out.
No, he was in.
All right, but that was still an idiot move. Am I wrong?
Well, listen, that's what he does. I don't know why he goes sideways. Like, you can go straight and still do the flip. I don't understand what the sideways thing is
what's
about.
What's the antagonistic, grin, you know?
He's a little older. You know, I don't care about the flip. You guys can do anything you want, but it's like, that was a younger DeSean. I don't know if I'd buy the 34-year-old DeSean doing it that way.
Yeah, I would agree on that. Okay, now, Doug Peterson. Okay, I said this before, I believe, but I'm going to say it again. Everybody can say, Jalen, Carson, Doug, they can all say. But the only way that's going to happen is if we get an offensive coach or an offensive coordinator that deals with Carson so he doesn't have to deal with Doug. End of story.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one major difference between now and us winning the Super Bowl.
If you want to ask me what I think is going to happen, I'm going to answer it, nada. I think they'll come back. They may give the head coach a little more say in personnel. I think the only change will be a defensive coordinator. I think he'll move on.
Well, and the other thing is I absolutely 100% think that Howie should have stayed banished, like Chip Kelly banished him, but oh well.
Yeah.
I guess that ship has sailed.
Yes.
All right.
Go ahead.
Here's my disturbing situation.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened on Sunday at my job. I got a Chase Claypool jersey for Christmas from Santa, of course. And I'm kind of going to publicly shame one of your loyal listeners, and I'm not going to say his name or where he's from unless you tell me I can. But here's what happened. He's a loyal listener of yours, and he's a regular customer of mine. And he came in and he saw my Chase Claypool jersey and, you know, besides it being a Steelers jersey, he says to me, why aren't you wearing a white man's jersey? And I was like a deer in headlights. I didn't even know what to do or say.
Well, you should have thrown his ass out. Is what you should have done. Get out of here.
Unfortunately, I'm not allowed to do that. That's way above my pay grade.
You say that's a very racist statement, sir. I don't appreciate it, and I think you should leave my store if that's what you have.
But I can't say that.
Well, sure you can.
No, I technically am not allowed to do that because that's way above my pay grade.
Did you tell the manager?
Because I know he's listening, so I would like to say, and you know who you are, dude, because I'm not a racist a-hole like you are.
You made your statement. Let me give you a general knowledge question here.
Oh, sure.
All right, this is last names in U.S. history.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you'll get this. Here, I'm going to give you three first names. You tell me the last name that I want.
Okay.
Jimmy, Linda, Reuben.
I'm going to go
Carter?
Correct.
Oh, God.
There it is. Jimmy Carter, President of the United States. Linda Carter, Wonder Woman. Reuben Carter. It is the story of the hurricane.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where Dylan says the N-word and gets away with it.
Dylan. Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
He says it in the song?
Yeah.
He does?
Mm-hmm.
No. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
Oh.
It fits the story.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because they talk about the trial.
Yeah.
And what the jury said about. That's when he says it.
All right. That's 5 o'clock hour. It's ahead on the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hour. Always exciting. This is a New Year's Eve show tomorrow. Tyrone and I will be doing the show on New Year's Eve.
Yep.
Natalie's off.
Yeah. No updates tomorrow. I don't know what to tell you.
Starting the new year a little early tomorrow.
Yeah.
Very nice. You got plans?
No, not really.
No plans for tomorrow?
Nah, low key.
Okay. 5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of Guided Door and Window's big year-end sale. She's 40% off all windows and doors until December 31st. Call 1-877-GO-GUIDA or check them out online at goguida.com. All right, let's rock some phone calls here. And we'll go with Mike in Southwest Philly. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, Mike?
How you doing?
I'm all right. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas to you, Mike.
Real quick, I'm going to make a point about Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. First, Carson Wentz. If Carson Wentz can be fixed like how y'all say, he got to fix himself by next year because he going to win the starting job by default. There's no way they benching a third. There's no way they benching the $34 million man for the start of the season. I don't think it's happening. But that's just my opinion.
I think you're right. Now, if they try to pull a competition thing, it could be a disaster. But I don't see where there's any way out of not having Carson Wentz back.
Yeah, they go and say it's a competition, but it's really not going to be one.
See, I can't have that, though. See, I got to go all in. I got to move Hurts for value if that's the case. I know that's precarious because if Wentz pulls a Ziggy, then I'm way out of luck. But that's the way I got to approach it.
Yeah, I understand that. But I think they got to keep both of them because I think people like to compare him to Brett Favre. I think he's more like Cam Newton. Cam Newton had his MVP year, started getting injured, and was never the same again.
Yeah.
That's what I think. All right, now, real quick, the Sixers, they got to get James Harden. It's possible that James Harden may force the Rockets' hand to trade him, but it's also possible that the later it get, the more teams get involved and Ben Simmons still don't shoot and they still turning the ball over a million times and they not going to win like that. It's been almost 8 years. They owe it to the fans to win a championship, and the best way to win a championship or the most likely way of them winning a championship is to get James Harden. We can't worry about the future anymore. That's for the Sixers management to worry about. Well, that's how I feel.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you.
Yeah.
And it's really funny. He's performing now. This is BK, I call it, before keto. Right? And just imagine when he gets in shape.
Yeah. He may never get in shape.
Yeah. Well, I think he will. Actually, he does. He doesn't care. Like he's throwing 44. He doesn't even care to be. He doesn't even want to be down there. You know, he scored 44.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Embiid.
No. Embiid will be all right. Embiid, if they manage him, I think I know there's always a chance he'll get out of shape, but I think he's going to be all right.
Yeah, Yeah, my man need to get a die. And I think soon as they sit, if they, Embiid and Harden, soon as they step on the floor together, they respect each other's game. And that, that makes the team much, much better.
I agree. All right, man, I'm going to give you general knowledge question. Yearly number one hits. All right, so this is going to give you 1997 number one hit. Candle in the Wind.
Is this like a accurate, like a...
Candle in the Wind is the song. Who did the song?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, sure you do. Like a candle in the wind. Come on, man. Candle in the Wind.
He doesn't know. You either know or you don't.
It's popular.
Yeah, but you either know that or you don't.
Well, and it was about the remake was about Princess Diana.
Right. So if you don't know it, you're not going to work that out and go, let me think. Like, you either know that or you don't.
All right. Well, he didn't know it.
He didn't know that.
Bell John. All right. Let's go, Corey, Northeast Philly. What's up, Corey?
What's up, guys? Happy holidays. How you doing, guys?
Thanks, man. How you doing?
Hey, I'm ready to move on from Carson Wentz. There's two things I want to talk about. I'm ready to move on from Carson Wentz for Jalen Hurts, and they need to beef up on that offensive line to protect the quarterback. And plus, two, the Sixers, I'm ready to get Harden. I'm ready to trade up for Simmons, man. Do you believe you'd agree?
Would I make the deal for Harden right now?
Yes,
I would.
Yes,
I would.
Yes,
I've taken the long view on this, and the long view is I have no idea whether this guy's going to shoot the ball ever. And the short view on Harden is he makes you contender right away.
Yeah, I want to win championship.
Yeah, you got your radio or TV on there, man?
No, I don't.
Oh, there's something on the background.
My friend's talking in the back.
All right. Yeah, you got something on in the background, man. Turn it off. You got to turn that on.
All right.
Yeah, come on, why'd you lie to me?
I'm sorry,
man. why'd you lie to me for your friends talking in the background? It's all right. You can just turn it off. We can proceed with the call.
All right, man. Anything? Do you think the Eagles should keep Hurts? I like him, man.
You know enough about it?
Yeah, I know him from college. Oklahoma and...
Stop. You look at him in the NFL. Is he an NFL franchise quarterback to you right now? Do you know that?
What I see, I like.
Did you like the second half last week?
No, because he threw an interception, but he drove downfield, and he is poised, man. He really is.
There's not enough. There's not enough for me to say I like him. Sorry.
But I do like what I see, man.
All right. Do you want a general knowledge question?
Yeah.
All right. You still got the damn stuff on in the background. What's up with this? He lied to me.
He
wanted his friends to be able to hear him.
Come on, friends.
No, that's him.
Yeah, I know. You got to know what the rules are. He lied.
See?
Yeah, lied. I should have zinged him there.
No, it's my friends in the background.
Yeah. All right, let's go.
Ben, we are his friends.
Ben in Wilmington. Ben, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing there, y'all? How you doing?
What's up, guys? Ben? How you doing?
I'm great, man. Not bad at all. For starters, I want to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Is it a change inevitable for us to succeed if we keep Carson Wentz?
Is a change inevitable, like, as far as what?
As far as the coach, if we keep Carson Wentz.
No. Change is not inevitable. In fact, I don't think it's going to be a change. I'm just telling you what I think should be done.
I don't think it would be a change either. I think Doug has to be taken off the offensive play calling. I really do.
Yeah. Listen, I don't think that's going to happen, but because he's actually lobbying for more. Like, if you heard, he wants to even be part of, the picking the groceries, which I guess he should think, but I don't think they're going to give him less.
I got one more question for you.
Yes, sir.
If you're running the football, right, the first half, you're running the football and it's successful every time. Now, every play is not going to be a 40, 50-yard play, even a 10-yard play. Mm-hmm. But when you notice the game that you're losing, your running back is getting the ball less than 15 times, you're losing those games. And you've got a quarterback, you don't have a bunch of receivers that are good, but you still keep throwing the football. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
No, it doesn't make any sense to me either, which is why I'm judging this guy the way I'm judging him, which is that he can't think on his feet.
Nah. He has to be a games manager as the game is going on. He don't do that well at all. He's just stuck in his ways. He's just stubborn. And it hurts the team.
Yeah.
And then you got the quarterback just standing in the pocket, whether it's Hurts or Wentz. Yeah. You have them standing in the pocket, which doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I hear you, Ben. And you're such a good caller. I'm going to give you a layup in general knowledge. All right? Now, these are last names in U.S. history. So I'm going to give you a couple of first names that will give you the last name. All right?
All right.
So if I go Benjamin Aretha, what last name am I looking for?
Franklin, baby.
Oh, of course, it's Franklin. That's a layup city.
There you go.
All right, let's get Dan in Northeast Philly in here. Dan, what's up?
Yeah, what's going on, Mike?
How you doing, Dan?
Good, Dan. I just wanted to ask you a question. It's just like, I don't know how to enjoy this team going forward, and I'm really serious about this. If they keep Howie Roseman, it's so illogical to me, because if I put myself in that similar situation, if I'm at work and I, you know, maybe spill paint, I get written up. But if I crash the truck into a wall and explode, I'm going to get fired. He has single-handedly destroyed this team. And you can just go over his wide receiver draft picks. You can look at the cap. But it's just maddening to know that they're just, like, ignoring it. They're flat-out ignoring the fan base. They don't address it at all. That you never hear them say anything. Howie hasn't spoken in how long?
Well, I agree with you. They ignore it. You're talking, a guy like Jeffrey Lurie lives in a different climate. Like, he doesn't see it the same way as we do. And so he's not going to lose a penny if he doesn't act. And he knows that. So he says he sees it with a different set of glasses than we see Howie Roseman.
Okay, but what about the reputation of the organization? And it's similar to me in a sense with Ben Simmons not shooting, which is...
Well, hey, listen, there's no question I think Jeffrey Lurie wants to win, because that gives him more acclaim as an owner and as a rich guy. And what he's saying is, we won, and guess who my general manager was? That dude. So he sees it differently than we do.
Okay, understandable, but it's... Does he not see the team now? Like I said,
yeah, I think he's ticked off. I don't think he's ticked off enough to fire Howie Roseman.
Oh my God, dude! Like, you don't even have an A position group on the team anywhere. Nowhere. There's not an A position group.
No, I totally agree with you, Dan. Totally.
And he doesn't see that, dude.
See it. I don't know. I mean, but I don't think he sees it enough to act.
The last thing I got for you, if you don't got time for the general knowledge, I really don't.
I got general knowledge for you. I got it all lined up for you.
I just want to say this, dude. With Ben Simmons not shooting, it can be a hindrance to the team, but it doesn't prevent the team from winning. It can really hold them back. Hell, it creates the entire team. So if that isn't addressed, then I don't know how to have any hope. I honestly don't.
So what do you see? What are you saying? That he has to go for Harden or no?
You know where I stand on it.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's just. I think about it a lot.
All right, man. Here's the general knowledge question. Okay, this is the 2020 year in review. So you should get this, but it's kind of like a modern culture question. What power or what strange couple named their newborn baby, now stay with me here, X, that Latin joinder of A and E, and A-12? What eccentric couple named their newborn baby that?
Oh, man. This is really important information. So I'm going to take a guess and say Kanye West and Kim Kardashian.
No, that's incorrect. Incorrect. It's a good guess, but it was stranger than that. It is industrial designer Elon Musk and alt singer Grimes. I need to hear some Grimes. Yes! Natalie!
I know.
Tyrone loves Grimes.
He sure does.
Look at him. Give me some Grimes time. Go ahead, Grimes. Oh, yes.
I am indisposed.
Come on, Ty.
And they pronounce their baby's names X.
Pronounce it X?
Yeah. If anybody was wondering that before the end of the year.
See, I love this song. I like her, man.
I like her, too.
She sounds crazy, but she...
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, here comes the chorus, Tyro. Go!
Nothing.
Wait, here it comes. Oh, I love it. Oh, come on, Ty. Ty, not feeling.
Why is she not singing? Just like this is an electronic song that shouldn't have lyrics.
It's like a thing. She's like a thing.
She is. I love her.
That's, you know what?
Such a little minx.
And that's why. Why I rock with my friends at Barlow Chevrolet.
Why? What do they have to do with this?
I don't want a stinking Tesla, and I don't want her music. And that kid, oh, man.
X? Like,
I don't have any faith in that kid being anything. Oh, I can't stand
him. All right. Well, that was, I need my Grimes moment.
Yeah.
Let's go to Tom in Philly. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Tom?
Before I get to Hertz Wentz.
Yes.
Do you want a Seinfeld question?
Yeah, sure. I'll knock that dead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. the Soup Nazi.
Yeah.
Famous episode. Everybody likes the soup. Nobody likes the Soup Nazi except Kramer. What does Kramer say to the Soup Nazi to show that he really understands?
He says, you die for your soup.
You suffer for
your soup. You suffer. I'm sorry. You suffer for your soup. That's close.
You were.
Yeah, that's close. Yeah.
Now,
thank you.
I want to see. I want to see Jalen play lights out this Sunday night. Yeah. I want to see him play lights out. I do not believe he is an NFL franchise quarterback, but I want to see him play lights out so we can trade him for some value.
Yeah,
and I don't care if they win or lose the game. Carson Wentz has to come back. That Villanova professor is exactly right. And I would like, but I'm afraid that you might be right on this, I would like to see Wentz have somebody else other than Dougie running the show there.
Yeah, I think that that would benefit the Eagles. I don't think it's going to happen, though.
Unfortunately, probably not. Do you think it would?
If Lori thinks he has to make a change, then that to me would be the closest thing I would see. Like he brings in some offensive guy.
Suppose the Eagles get killed Sunday night. Do you think that helps?
Nah, the game doesn't mean anything really. If they get killed, it benefits them because they get a better draft pick.
Oh, okay.
All right, man. General knowledge question. You ready,
yeah,
Tom?
As long as it's not music.
It's not music. It's the general knowledge category.
Oh.
What? You're a learned man. What, by value, is the top fruit grown in India? See, we educate people here as well. Not many people would know this answer, but I know Tom is a learned man. What is the top fruit grown in India by value?
I'll probably say dates.
That's a really good guess. But it's incorrect. And this is flabbergasting to me. I had no knowledge of this. Mangoes.
Interesting.
The top by value fruit grown in India.
Well, mangoes are overpriced, so yeah, that makes sense.
Wow.
Mangoes aren't cheap.
I actually had a date last night.
You had a date with who, Hank?
No, I ate.
Oh, you had a date.
I had a date. What? I really did. I haven't had a date in a while.
What's the point of a date? I don't get the date. I don't understand. Like, I understand the date less than the avocado. Like, what's the appeal of a date?
It was actually delightful. My roommate got a bag of dates.
I never got the date. Like, what does that do?
It actually was nice.
Yeah.
It's like sweet. It's not like the whole fruit. Like, you know what I mean?
I can go fig, but I skeeved the fig a little bit. I can go fig.
Isn't the date, so the date's the dried plum, right? I think
is
it's
it?
A dried
I don't
plum.
Know. I don't know what the date is. It's weird.
Yeah. But it was good. I recommend.
All right. Yeah.
I recommend having a date yourself.
I don't recommend a date. So, by the way, he asked me a Seinfeld question. It popped into my head. Pierre Cardin passed away. The designer Pierre Cardin.
That stinks.
Now, where did Pierre Cardin figure in a Seinfeld episode? Ah. See, I'm going deep here.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I remember when they were going, Frank and Estelle. Mm-hmm. We're going somewhere. She was giving him a hard time about his tie.
Yeah, because it was so too,
right.
too
Nobody
thick.
Wears that tie, those kind of ties anymore.
Right, yeah. And, they were going to...
and he says...
To the in-laws, would-be right. Susan's that's, family. That's right, where it was, yeah.
That's correct. And then he goes, it's a Pierre Cardin!
Remember that now.
All right, yeah. Let's take a break. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, we're coming in at home stretch. Let's get the final Twitter poll numbers brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Winners here, Paul B. Moyer and Sons and Doylestown is your stop for snowblowers and generators and anything else you need, like chainsaws. All season launches. Just stop by the Doylestown location today or order online at paulbmoyer.com. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Over 1,300 votes on this one today. With the Sixers 3-1, are you more happy about their record or more frustrated with Ben Simmons' lack of shooting? 43% say happy about the record. 57% say frustrated with Ben.
Go away.
No, and then we have poll number two with over 700 votes on it. Should T.O. still be mad at McNabb after 16 years? 42% say yes, you made him leave. 58% say no, it's petty at this point. So, 42% back.
Apparently, it's still not overwhelmingly petty.
No, not enough. Maybe 20 years it'll be petty.
Yeah.
That should have been a 100-0 poll. Five is the most. I tell you what, Five does need to do for his own legacy. He needs to ignore T.O. and them. He needs to find a way to repair his relationship with the city of Philadelphia. I mean that. He'll never. I
don't know if he knows how to do. Like, he's not natural at that stuff.
But you have to grow. You have to get outside help. It really does. It's something wrong with the best quarterback in franchise history. We have all this quarterback stuff going on, and his relationship with this city's terrible, and it shouldn't be.
I agree.
He should do something to do it. He has to extend the olive branch.
What do you think he should do? Come on the show.
Well,
maybe
that would help.
Host the show for 4 hours.
But he's got to be careful.
Show
with that.
A human side.
Yeah, but that could end up being worse because he comes in being a hater.
No,
because people thought he was that hurt him before.
He's got to bite it.
He's got to come on and not be a hater.
That's what I mean. He's got it's in his control.
Yeah, because people were a little bit mad about. Remember, he was talking bad about Wentz when Wentz was playing well.
Yeah,
and now people are going, see, he was right back when Wentz had that 300-yard game, and he said he was bad.
I would facilitate that. I would try to be less involved, broker it. I just come in. Listen, man, I think it's about time that we just settle this whole thing. So, and I'm not going to pick at him or anything.
Yeah. He should say his piece. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what he. But I think maybe that would be. That would help. He
4 hours. Just in a 4 hours.
Yeah.
Be a human being for 4 hours.
Just be normal. Make a joke.
Right.
React to
people
stuff.
Get to learn more about you with 4 hours worth of you.
A new year is upon us. Maybe he's turned a new leaf.
Yeah, because he's doing leadership things. He seems like he's doing better things because he did have a rough patch there. I don't know why people were making T.O. and him were making fun of him about it. He had a rough patch.
Yeah.
But you grow as a man. I just think that it's disturbing that that poll is as close as it is.
It really is.
It's because people don't like him.
You know what? It wasn't that close the last time we brought this thing up, so at least there's progress.
That's true. It was like 80-20
last time. It was ridiculous last time. All right, let's go Todd in Philadelphia. Todd, you're on 97.5 for that.
Hey, wanted to wish you all a happy new year.
You too, Todd.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. As far as McNair goes, definitely buried the hatchet, Mike.
Who? McNair.
McNabb, you mean?
McNabb, I mean. McNabb.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah. He's only the best quarterback in Eagle history. Come on, man.
Yeah,
this is what we're talking about.
And I think Westbrook can help you, too.
Right.
I do.
All right, let's try to broker it.
I'm going. What?
Go ahead. That's okay. The only time. Okay. Yeah, go.
I'm going Eagles and Cowboy game real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And Eagles' last play of the game caught the ball, and I was always taught the ground caused the fumble. Is that correct?
Well, your knee has to be down, your arm, forearm. What are you talking about, the play where Hurts fumbled?
No, I'm talking about the wide receiver who caught the ball, and it was a first down. Then the ground caused the fumble, and then the Cowboys everybody looked at each other, looked all around, remember the play? Last time the Eagles had the ball, you remember that?
The play I remember was that Hurts went down and fumbled it away, not a receiver.
Okay, but all right, you might be right. But it was still the ground caused the fumble, correct?
No, they said that his knee was not down and the ball got loose. It was wrong. I thought there was clear evidence, but correct. They called it wrong.
You're right, Mike. You know, I really wonder about the referees.
Yeah, I don't know how they could have video of that and come out with that conclusion, but, you know, I guess it didn't matter.
That'd be a 10-4. All right, everybody have a nice house.
All right, man, listen, do you want a general knowledge question?
Why not, Mike?
All right, Todd, I know you're a music man, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, yearly number one hit songs in the U.S. I'm going to take you back to 1983.
Okay.
The song is Every Breath You Take. Who did it?
Oh, my God. Every
breath you take.
Yeah, I remember a song.
Every move you make. What's that?
In Excess.
No. Oh, that's not a bad guess, though. In the same vicinity. That's the Police.
Oh, can't you see?
All right, so let me see. Go down a little. It's Every Breath You Take. Every Move You Make. Every bond you break.
Every step you take.
Every step you take, I'll be watching you. All right, let's go further.
Okay.
Every single day.
Uh-huh.
Every word you say.
Yeah.
Every game you play. Every
Come on.
Night you stay.
That's it.
I'll be watching you.
Then it goes, okay.
Yeah, that's right, okay, you see.
That's such a creepy song.
I'll tell you what, they were pretty good, man. They had a small body of work. They flamed out because Sting is above the all.
Became Sting.
But here's the thing, he wasn't writing those songs. The other guys were. The songs Summers were better.
Summers and the drummer was, what's the name? Andy Summers. And the drummer was American, Stuart Copeland.
Yeah, those guys wrote better songs. So the Police songs, even though Sting's singing them.
Yeah.
Were better than the Sting song. The Sting songs were cheesy because he's not as good a writer.
He was star. He was the star.
Right, but he should have recognized.
Now that goes like with the lead singer.
Hall & Oates, right?
Yeah.
Oates wrote up. Hall wasn't a writer. Oates was the writer. Hall was the deliverer. But Hall recognized, I need Oates.
Yeah.
Because Oates the writer. Oates wrote those songs.
Daryl wrote too. But,
but Oates wrote more. I think Hall just like, you get a writing credit because you figure out how to sing it.
Did we figure out if they watched the show or listened to the show, Hall & Oates? Remember I asked the one day?
I had John on, so he knows of the show.
I know. But
I told you Daryl's
But this
there.
Version.
Daryl's out there. He doesn't mess around with it. Yeah.
He might.
No.
Well, if they're watching.
Yeah, he's in his own little world. It's Daryl's house. Vicente Lansdowne. What's up, Vicente?
Hola, Mike, give me
a Hola, Vicente.
Oh, my God. I just really wanted this year to be over. But I wanted to, before I make my Eagles point, I wanted to mention something related that to Carter, Robin Carter. You listen to me?
Yes, the Carter. Question?
Okay. Tyrone make allusion that Bob Dylan, who wrote the song, it's a protest song. He got away with the mentioning of the N-word. But it was just to...
Dylan.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was to describe. And also, nobody knows, but Bob Dylan...
He said, I know what his intentions were, because Dylan was a liberal. But I think we're trying to make the point that you could never do that now. Like he got away with it.
Of course not now, yeah. You know.
Right.
But, you know, he did it in 1975. 3 years earlier, in 1972, John Lennon used the same word to describe how a woman is treated in the world. You know, woman is the of the world.
Yeah, you're you're right about that, actually.
I mean, they took liberty of the word, you know, to describe something.
Yeah, well, it's you know, disguised in the artistic thing, but again, we've become a lot more wise to it. So
yeah, right. Yeah, everything evolves in time.
Correct, Amundo.
So politically correct.
Yes.
Now, I wanted to say that Jim Swartz is trying to enforce the no hat rule. I mean, they don't want Washington to celebrate in the Eagles' territory, but that implies that they want to win the game, but I don't think they should win the game because then you're giving that the chance to the Giants or the Cowboys to sneak off in the playoffs. You know,
I agree with you. There's no reason to win the game except for some foolish pride that Doug Peterson won the last game.
And you want to protect the players. You don't want to play Kelsey and the other guys, you know, just play Hurts and play Zach Ertz.
Yeah, Kelsey's interesting. I wonder why they would play Kelsey. Well, because they got Hurts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right. He's got a streak.
I want to wish you the best, happy and healthy and prosperous New Year.
Let me say to you, Feliz Año Nuevo para ti y tu familia.
Muchas gracias, amigo.
All right, let me give you a general knowledge question.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the last names question.
Okay.
All right, so let me go here. Charlie, Dorothy, Colonel Tom. What last name am I looking for?
Charlie,
Dorothy, and Colonel Tom.
Who is the Colonel Tom? Can you give me a hint?
Colonel Tom was the muse, I guess, the brains behind a certain singer, rock and roll singer.
Well, David Bowie.
No. Bowie's now looking for that was Elvis, man.
Oh, Elvis.
Yeah, Colonel Tom Parker was the town manager for Elvis. But you should have got the other ones. You disappoint me. Charlie Parker, Dorothy Parker, the American poet.
Okay.
All right.
Vicente, I'll talk to you next year.
Have a happy new year. All right. Vicente coming out with the Ziggy. Yeah, Colonel Tom, I thought he would get that.
Can't win them all, I suppose.
Yeah, he ended up being kind of an evil man.
Colonel Tom?
Yeah, I heard a lot of stories. I was reading books about Elvis. My dad was a big Elvis movie fan.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, so I would have to watch the different Elvis movies. And when Elvis had some of those substance abuse issues, he helped him with the pills and stuff just to get him back to the studio. Like, that wasn't right. You had to make sure Elvis was healthy.
Had a lot of issues.
Right, but that doesn't mean you hand him the drugs and they put him in the studio.
That's how they handled all the musicians and actors back in the day.
Yeah,
doesn't mean it's right.
It's wrong. That's
I know,
point.
Yeah.
He was wrong. You got to take care of the meal ticket.
Yeah, I'm laughing because Eddie Murphy did that comedy routine with Elvis. Could sing everything and make it sound like maybe went milk, that cool refreshing drink.
Yeah,
Eddie Murphy did that routine.
Yeah.
That's what popped into my head. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We got sound off to close it out after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's time for you to sound off.
You gotta be faking me. What is the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always.
minutes to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com. Let's get going. Sound off.
All right, let's go with sound off to wrap up the evening. 610-671-9705. That's the sound off line. Hit us up, and we may include you in the package that we put together because we go through it painstakingly. All right, let's see what we had today.
The Sixers played well last night, but in order for the team to step, they got to learn to play without Embiid. Tobias got to be consistent. Shake going to have to step up, and Durant going to have to be more aggressive. Because Embiid is great, but the team has to learn how to play better without Embiid on the floor.
I was having trouble understanding that.
But yeah. Have to play better with Embiid off the floor last night. The win was nice, but they have to play better when Embiid's off the floor.
Okay. All right. I don't know if that's possible, frankly, but I get it.
The only way the Sixers can contend with this current roster is for Tobias Harris to become that supermax player. And I know it doesn't sound very likely, but then again, Macaulay Culkin landed and dated Mila Kunis for like 10 years during the early 2000s.
Culkin.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That was, that's a good pull. So if that could happen, a lot of things could happen.
Yeah, I guess. I've seen what Tobias is. There's no mystery box to Tobias where, you open a drawer and gold's going to pop out.
Mike, at this point, I don't even think we can get Harden for Ben. The more Ben plays, like, his value go down. Like, why you think Houston asked for 3 first-round picks of Ben? They probably ask us to pay for their dinners every time they come to town if you got to take on Ben.
Now, see, here's the thing. Houston has to move the guy. They don't have any game by keeping him. They're not going to win. Plus, he doesn't want to be there, and he's probably paying the butt. So, the best offer that's out there, in my view, would be Simmons. And I think they can get it done with that.
Yeah, because what Carl is leaving out is that he has only a certain number of teams he go to. And Simmons is a better chip than Miami could give up, the Nets could give up.
Yes.
Or the Bucks.
Unless the Nets,
get Kyrie. Short of that, they don't have anything close to good as Simmons.
Yeah, they could give LeVert Dinwiddie.
Can't give Dinwiddie. Dinwiddie's out for the year.
Oh, he's out for the year?
Yeah, he got partially torn ACL.
Oh, did he? Oh, yeah. Well, that's out.
Simmons is by far the best thing they can
do. Yeah, it is.
Do you think that a lot of the struggling with the shooting could be up to probably these teams playing in their own venues with no fans, and it's just the optics of it can be thrown off some of the shooting?
His optics? No, it's his brain. His optics are fine. You've seen him shoot. He shoots in practice.
Fine.
Is anything wrong with his optics?
No, elbows, it's fine.
Yeah, it's just in the brain.
Yep.
Did you know that Pascal Siakam and Joel Embiid are both from Cameroon? If you didn't know that, I don't blame you. Mark Zuhal only mentioned it about 400 million times in the game last night. Siakam, he's from Cameroon just like Embiid. Oh, Siakam, he comes from Cameroon. Mark, shut up and announce the damn basketball game.
Oh, man, Zoo getting some shade here.
That's a violation.
That's not right.
I can't stand by and allow that. That man's an institution.
He's a treasure.
And we can't also assume that every single person, viewership is way up in the NBA. Like,
what did you say today? 95%?
95% up year over year. So there are a lot of new fans who don't know that. If you watch every game, you absolutely know that. New fans
enjoying Ala lately, too, because with Korkmaz out, I don't have to hear how his game has progressed from Happy Ala. I love him. We got to get Happy Ala on. I want to challenge him with the Korkmaz thing.
I will reach out to him.
All right.
Let's review Doug Peterson's resume. First of all, first year he's the coach. He gets a couple of hand-me-down wins at the end of the year. Super Bowl year, they play last place schedule. This year, he has 4 wins. The guy can't coach. Eric Bieniemy needs to be the head coach of this team. Change the game plan.
Yeah. It's not. The more I think about it, the more I don't think it's going to happen. So, I'm down for a number of reasons today.
this Sunday, I know this sounds weird, and I shouldn't be saying this as an Eagles fan, but if we lose, I won't be too disappointed. It will help our draft, most likely, and even better, it will spite Dallas and the Giants out of winning the division.
Yeah, you still worry about that? No, I don't even waste any energy on Dallas. They win the division, they win the division. Let's close it down.
That's the best of the best today on Sound Off. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com.
Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What are you?
Because I don't like
them. Then bring it. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your Sound Off gets up.
All right, that was Sound Off. 610-771-9705 for future reference. By the way, the Eddie Murphy routine was wasn't milk. Yeah. Lemonade, that cool, refreshing drink.
That was good.
It was lemonade.
That was good stuff.
Yeah, Eddie, plus he did like a whole thing about Elvis in the bedroom and all that stuff.
Yeah,
that was the first special.
Thing. Yeah, that was the first one.
Yeah. All right, stay tuned because Ron Jaworski's coming up. It's the Jaws Show live from Valley Brook Country Club. And then Devon Gibbons will be in here at 9:75 to take you through the evening on NBC Sports Philly. Stay tuned for Eagles Rewind of the Eagles versus the Cowboys game. Our winners today of the Redstone American Grill $100 gift card, Zach, Abdul, Doc, Laura, and Ben. Congratulations to everybody. Have a great rest of the night. Be safe out there. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.